The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see. Next, we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hind.
With Fred Kirsch.
Whoa. Host, annual,
host,
annual, an annual meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
Why say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah, we're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Off-season special edition. Because they're all special. We're all here. Paul,
are you
going to
start everyone with that?
Maybe.
Paul
special
and edition,
Andy, you got a problem
special.
With that?
A little bit.
Paul and Andy and Eric are here.
You want to go? Don't play my side of the street.
Kevin's in the booth, and we got a lot to talk about. A great slate of games over the weekend. The right teams won. We're very happy about that. But why are you laughing?
The right teams won.
The correct teams
won. Yeah, I was
won.
Rooting against Green Bay.
What do you have against the Bears?
I didn't like their comportment, you idiot.
I really didn't care
about that game at all.
Well, we care. I care. Listeners care.
No, that's fine. I didn't say you were wrong for caring. I just said I was joking about the Green Bay line, that's all.
Sure.
I didn't really care about that game.
You care.
No,
a little bit.
At the end, I was rooting for Chicago because
I
was rooting
for that
comeback.
That comeback
with
the third string quarterback. Cared.
He already
you freaking kidding me because I'll just leave.
He already told me that he's going to try. I'm having all kinds of issues with
the
sound.
What's the matter?
You got sucky headphones now?
Ha-ha.
No, this is the same headphones I always have.
It's the connection. It's
under your ears.
We need Bose, Kevin.
No, it's not the headphones.
It's not the headphones. It's underneath. Yeah. These wires are flimsy.
We still need Bose, though. That has nothing
sounds
to do with the
connection.
Sounds
good in here.
Thanks.
That's typical of him. He's producing a show that's for thousands and thousands of people, and yet sounds good in here, so I'm fine.
Crystal. But I mean, I'm hearing what they're hearing, so sounds good.
Why are you wearing your headphones like Fred used to?
He's got
to
keep his hair.
Doesn't want to mess up the implanted
hair. Don't have any hair left.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
He had 508-543-7482
is the ace ticket hotline. So let's start with
the all-pro team.
There's a lot of things to talk about. The all-pro team. Ian Rappaport had a nice – no, Karen Garigian, I should say.
Yes.
Had a nice little get in the airport on the way to Hawaii with Wes Welker. We'll talk about that and what he had to say about his foot press conference. But All-Pro is, I guess, the biggest and best news we've got.
Sure.
Several players, including playmaker Gerard Mayo, were
Well, let's start with the unanimous vote for Tom Brady, a quarterback.
Tom Brady.
First time ever he's been unanimous.
Yep.
Which begs the question, wait a minute. How was he not unanimous in 07 when he was breaking every record?
Because some guy was
some clown gave a half a vote to Brett Favre. He had 49.5 that year, but he got all 50 this year. Seventh straight year there's been a unanimous player on the All-Pro team.
Right.
But also joined by, as you said, Logan Mankins and Gerard Mayo.
Yep.
Logan Mankins just snuck in, and Mayo just snuck in.
Banana peeled?
A little bit of a banana peel.
Well,
I have the voting. Let me get the
exact
numbers.
You made an interesting point yesterday that you blogged about, right? Or did you tweet it?
I tweeted it.
About the fact that there's 12 players on each side
of the
ball.
How dumb
is that? That's really
Now, when did
silly.
They start doing that?
I don't know. I'm not a historian.
Because I can understand the reasoning. You know, you got your nickel corner on the defensive side, who's kind of
It's not a corner,
it's
by
not
the
what
way.
They did.
There's four defensive backs. They run a 4-4-4.
Yeah.
Right. Only four defensive backs?
Four D linemen, four linebackers, four defensive backs. They're basically covering, I guess, for the 3-4-4-3 issue.
Yeah.
But I don't like it. Stupid.
Listen, it makes sense because of that issue. Right now, you have pretty much an even split of 4-3s and 3-4s. I just don't. I don't understand it.
And on offense, it makes no sense. They have two running backs and a fullback.
The inside linebacker.
How many times
have
you seen two running backs and a fullback line up on any game field?
That one is even worse. The offense.
That's just.
He's right.
We know there's a lot of good running backs, so we'll give ourselves an out and let us vote for two.
I hate to say it, but he's right.
Either kill the fullback or only have
that one makes no sense at all. That one makes no sense. You'd be better off if you wanted to have 12, having three receivers, because that's where everybody runs nowadays. But doing it the way they do it, with a fullback and two running backs, first of all, you're an all-pro fullback. Okay, you're one of the three best. I mean, no one has a fullback anymore.
Well, and you know what? I mean, who got it, right? Leach? And the reason he got it is because his guy led the league in rushing. That's all people do now is vote for the guy in front of the good guy.
You're not really – see, I agree with you guys. I don't think they should do this because you're not fielding a team. It's not like you have to have the guy – you're saying who are the best at their positions.
Right, and the linebackers in particular, the inside linebackers in a 3-4, that's a middle linebacker. Gerard Mayo makes this as a middle linebacker.
Right.
And there's no shit. I mean, that's fine. But you don't need to have four linebackers so you can have two inside. Ray Lewis and Gerard Mayo, same thing. Patrick Willis, same thing.
See, I can see
some guys are in a 4-3, some guys are in a 3-4, but they generally do the same things.
Yeah, I can see a little bit more on the defensive side the need to do it, but I don't get the offensive side.
Anyway, my point was
on that, Freddie.
He's been going to interrupt to agree.
Well, I never agree with him. I just figured I wanted it on record.
Patrick Willis led the way at inside linebacker with 28 of the votes. Mayo was second with 21, but Urlacher was third with 20. And Ray Lewis was fourth with 18. So very close there, split among the 100 votes, essentially. And at guard, Logan Mankins, Jari Evans had 24, Mankins had 15, then Chris Snee, 14, Carl Nix, 13, Brian Waters, 12, so pretty close in there, and Mankins just snuck it in there. Second team, All-Pro, which is not really All-Pro except in Paul Perillo's mind.
All depends on who I'm backing.
Vince Wilfork?
Yeah.
Devin McCourty? And Sebastian Vollmer, I thought was very, very interesting.
That's interesting.
Devin McCourty, all pro. Sebastian Vollmer, not an all pro.
Paul Perillo, idiot. With a hyphen in the middle if you want.
I'm being sarcastic. I think if you get those kinds of votes, you get first or second team, I think you can consider yourself an all-pro.
Sebastian Vollmer.
That's how I feel.
The voting at tackle, the two all pros were Joe Thomas with 22 and Jake Long with 21. Clearly setting themselves apart from the field. Jason Peters was next with 11, and then Vollmer was 7. Then there was 6, 5, 4, 4, 2, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. A lot of mixed voting at tackle. Matt Light got one vote.
And Matt Light had a better year than Vollmer.
I thought so. That's why I found that very interesting. I didn't know that Vollmer had the national following among writers that he apparently has.
Don't you think, though, that Vollmer started a little slow, but then he kind of stabilized? And then
I thought he started sucky.
And he
got better.
He plateaued.
I thought he was
I thought
horrendous
Matt Light had
early.
One of his better years, to be honest
with you. Oh, yeah.
And certainly recently.
I don't think Vollmer had a very good year.
But you got
to consider who Matt Light's going up against at left tackle, right?
Well, I said to Eric, in my mind, the tackles on all-pro teams and Pro Bowl teams should always be left tackles. They're the... For the most part,
they're the
better tackles on every team who face the tougher
challenges.
Well,
that was challenges. My next question. I was going to ask.
All pros should be four left tackles.
Did they specify?
No.
You said Jake Long
tackle.
And Jake Long and Joe Thomas?
Yeah, it's all
so
tackles.
So it's two left tackles.
You just vote for two tackles or however many tackles.
Then I agree.
I still think it's weird that a guy who didn't make the Pro Bowl gets named to an all-pro team.
And that a guy that made
that
the Pro Bowl.
That used to happen to Rodney Harrison annually.
I know. But
Brandon Merriweather, who made the Pro Bowl, was not among the 12 safeties to get a single vote.
Well, that just shows you the Pro Bowl's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it is. But part of that is guys pulling out, guys not pulling out. Yeah. Relax.
Why are we talking about Tony Cromartie?
We know he didn't pull out. Not once.
He had some interesting points this week, too.
Yeah.
But I did think it was interesting that Vollmer got that. And I believe I read Tom Curran as a voter. I don't believe he voted for Sebastian Vollmer. So that even eliminates, he got a couple Patriots votes and then picked up a couple. But he didn't even get the Patriot vote. Like, Tom Curran didn't even vote for Gerard Mayo, which I found was strange.
And he does a show with
him. He does a weekly show with him.
Yeah, he has a bunch of them. It's skipjacks every week.
You think there's a shot in hell if I had an all-pro vote that James Sanders wouldn't get it? Every week he'd get it. And Rob Gronkowski, I thought, one of five tight ends to get a vote. He only got one, but Witten was the first team, Antonio with 36, Gates was second team with 8, then Mercedes Lewis 3, Vernon Davis 2, and Rob Gronkowski 1.
Now, did you find out Curran's whole... whole ballot? Did he give you the whole ballot?
He did.
Is that
I don't believe
current?
So. I believe he voted
What's this
Gates.
I don't believe so?
My memory isn't
Do you
that
know
good.
Or not?
I believe he voted Gates over Witten.
Because that would make sense to me, is a local guy saying, sure. I know he's not going to win, but I'm going to give
Borges
him a vote.
Does Borges have a vote?
I don't
Probably,
know.
Probably, right?
Probably.
I don't know.
He has a Hall of Fame vote.
I don't know why we Tom Curran has a vote. He barely leaves Lakeville.
That's a good point.
Even when he was national, he wasn't national.
I think those things are very hard to pick.
Is Curran covering the Pro Bowl?
I don't believe
no.
so.
Is he covering the Super Bowl?
Yes, I believe.
He is.
I believe they all are covering the Super Bowl, but Comcast is no. Didn't you say that last week?
I don't know.
No, I thought no.
Nobody.
I thought no Sox had said that. ESPN Boston and Comcast were not doing the Pro Bowl.
Well, I know ESPN Boston did not send Reese to the Pro Bowl, which I think is a mistake, with the Patriots coaching staff and six players there, in a relaxed atmosphere. I think that's a mistake. If I had to choose between Pro Bowl and Super Bowl this year, I'd choose the Pro Bowl if you're a Patriots beat writer. But
so how come you didn't send us to Hawaii?
Huh?
How come you didn't send us to Hawaii?
We're not Patriots.
We never go anywhere. But you know what? I think
I couldn't get a ride on Craft Force One or whatever. Right out there.
Next year, if the Patriots, you know, aren't playing, maybe I'll send one of yous to the
use.
Super Bowl.
Use?
One of yous? I don't think.
Yous can go to Quincy or the Pro Bowl.
I don't think there's.
The kickoff
certainly
to our,
don't think
our,
there's much,
our draft coverage.
For the what? The Senior Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, go to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
I thought you said the Super Bowl.
Oh,
I was like,
Bowl.
I didn't see much.
It's intriguing.
Senior Bowl.
To go to the
kickoff
Super Bowl.
To the draft coverage.
I've never been to Mobile.
I can go carry your laptop.
I'm okay with that.
So, anyway.
So, any issues with the All-Pro team?
No, I'm happy for the three that made it. I'm also happy for McCourty.
The other thing, that's McCourty I wanted to go over. Asamoah, 20 votes. Darrell Revis, 19. Devin McCourty, 17. Right in the mix of the best corners in football.
Wow.
But
I mean,
Revis gets edged out by Asamoah? Is he that good? We don't get to see him a lot.
No. Plus, Revis had a down year. He was hurt a lot.
Yeah. He was.
Missed time.
But Asamoah is a multi-year All-Pro.
But every ball that goes his way is incomplete.
He's incredible.
He's unbelievable.
He's incredible. He's an incredible player. But
he's only two votes better than your guy.
But he missed some time this year and did not have as good a year as he had.
I guess he had the holdout. Early, maybe that.
Maybe some personality. Yeah, maybe people didn't. That rubbed them the wrong way or whatever.
Maybe.
Who knows?
And
but.
Devin McCourty bumped Asante Samuel, would have been second team because he was fifth in the voting at cornerback. So he bumped him.
And McCourty is deserving of that. Any of those accolades that he gets postseason.
Mm. Any surprise that
he's going to win?
Grimes, three votes.
Will Fork got second team.
Atlanta Falcons.
No, I know, but I wouldn't have voted for him for an All-Pro team.
That Will Fork got second team and Sue bumped him to first team?
It's all about sacks.
Interesting
sacks.
That Will Fork got a single vote at end as well as 15 votes at tackle. Got votes at both positions. I thought was interesting.
Okay.
Maybe only to me. But
no,
damn it,
I mean
it's part of my show here.
Yeah, I mean the end in a 3-4 just so different from, you know, a regular defensive end.
Plus, he's known as a nose tackle, and the fact that he played so much on the outside got people to notice.
Yeah.
Well, I just think like Julius Peppers is the first vote getter at defensive end with 35.
Mm-hmm.
And literally just looking at the two, you're voting for Vince Wilfork and Julius Peppers for the same position.
Yeah, I really
they classified Wilfork as an end.
No, he got a vote.
A guy voted for Vince Wilfork as a defensive end.
I'll guarantee that was Peter King.
I don't know.
Guaranteed.
And like Cameron Wake got a vote at defensive end. He also got votes at outside linebacker, but like I think that's interesting that Vince Wilfork and Cameron Wake or
and what did Wilfork get
the same votes.
At 15, I believe. 15 votes.
Yeah. He was where am I here? He was third. 45 for Haloti, not so he was very close to unanimous.
Yeah, see, if you're a 3-4 end,
and Sue at
you should get votes at tackle.
Tackle.
For the way they do it.
Right.
Sure.
So if that over-cerebral guy who voted for Vince Wilfork gets an end because he played some snaps as defensive end, he just wasted a vote is all he did. He should have voted for him at tackle.
Right.
So I believe, looking at this quickly, Troy Polamalu was the second closest to unanimous. He had 47 votes at safety.
Well, he's a guy that missed time.
And Arian Foster was pretty close at 45. Imagine that. Mm. Guy no one would have even like.
Yeah. No, he didn't miss much time, though.
Now, what do you get for All-Pro? Pat
in the back?
Is that it?
You got to get a plaque or something.
I don't know if you get any. I mean, if guys have incentives.
A lot of guys
like
do
that,
have incentives, but I think you just get a good job.
Yeah.
But if it's in your contract,
but it's a it's a more prestigious award than Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you do it the right way and only include the actual starters and not go seven deep like Paul does on the All Pro.
But it's not like if you go to the Pro, if you actually go to and play in the Pro Bowl, you get the game check for whatever it is, 38 or whatever.
Right. I like to go as far as I need to go to get all the Patriots some recognition. I know that's how I do it, but Andy doesn't like to do it.
Patriots All Pro tight end Rob Gronkowski.
All right, what about the games this
weekend? I like Gronk.
Thoughts on the games?
Coming or going? What?
Packers, Jets, Chicago.
I found myself rooting for the Haney kid in Chicago and the comeback at the end there.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not?
But I wanted the Packers because I wanted
like
whoever's playing Pittsburgh or the Jets, I wanted it to be the Packers.
Because
they have the better chance of winning.
Sure.
So I was rooting for the Packers.
Well, there was no – I mean, was anybody other than Bears fans rooting for the Bears? What's even interesting, likable?
The president was.
Yeah, he's a Bear – well, he's a sort of Bears fan by convenience.
He
but
couldn't name a Bear if he had a gun to his head. But,
but I mean
– Grizzly.
I can't see really rooting for the Bears as a unbiased observer. Like, it's just – Cutler's not likable. Lovie Smith is just kind of blah.
Mm. I mean,
he's our quarterback.
I think everybody likes Urlacher, but he's past his prime. You know?
Yeah, I just – don't see a lot of
there's not a lot there, you know.
Yeah, I would agree with Andy. I found myself down the stretch rooting for Chicago to come back just because
just
the of the game,
see the game sure.
Which I just think it lends itself to more excitement. But going into the game, I hate the Packers with a passion, so I couldn't wholeheartedly
root
for them.
Bears did what
I'll
they
never
do.
Forget 96. I'll never forget, you know, with that kid. I'll find that kid someday. I'll find him.
What about the whole thing with Cutler? Are you buying into this that he quit on his team and is a pussy and all that stuff?
Strippers, tweet that.
I think it might be a little unfair that all these outside people are taking shots at him, but based on his body language, he didn't look like he was into it at all. Well, he wasn't doing anything on the sideline to show that he, A, wanted to go back in the game, or, B, wanted to help
right,
the backups who were in the
but
game.
But is he any different on that Sunday than he has been in any game? He's always like
isn't well,
he?
Yeah.
That's who
he is.
He is
always like
right?
that. Yeah.
I don't think he was any different than he
no.
usually is.
And if you're told you're out, I don't think you have to like put on a show trying to pretend you need to get back in. If the trainers say you can't play, you're out. Okay, sit there and sulk. I'm fine with that. I probably would too.
I think all of this talk that's going on now is fair because we saw a guy on a grand stage not be able to play, and he stood on the sideline, and there's question as to whether or not he could get back in or whatnot. So I think that to talk about this, I think, is fair game. What I don't think is fair is all of the former players that absolutely destroyed him on Twitter, of all things.
And why did they feel that they needed to do that?
Even our own guy.
What's the problem with Twitter?
They need to,
even
they,
our own
they,
guy,
their attention
Troy Brown,
stopped.
Killed him Sunday night, and then tweeted yesterday when he found out it was a grade 2 MCL sprain.
Oh, my bad.
My bad. I
so,
didn't know.
Yeah, so why?
What did you think? He just decided to walk off the field for no reason? This is a guy that got sacked 150 times this year. I mean, he has no toughness at all?
Felger replayed Deion Sanders on NFL Network, who, you know, ripped him.
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
And said, you know, he tapped out in that, you know, he thought, you know, Deion Sanders was pretty eloquent about the whole thing.
It was actually one of his rare moments of coherence.
Yeah, and, you know, related it to his own experience and playing through and other people he knew. And he really felt strongly that Cutler didn't give it his all.
Yeah. He kept relating, like, he was playing for the people of whatever city he had on the front of the uniform.
Yeah, which, again, and
he was playing for
Deion,
the name on the
he
back.
He was playing for the name on the back.
He said that. He said, I was playing for the name on the back, and then Cowboys in the front, or whatever city I
whatever
was in.
Whatever other team I was playing.
So you're playing for the name on the back.
Yeah.
But
numerous
he said,
other
he did
teams.
Say that. Like I
the
said,
name on the check,
he actually was LRC. He was fairly well-spoken in doing this. But, again, he said, I've been, and I probably shouldn't talk about this on TV, but I've been shot up and done this on all different body parts. You can't shoot up a sprained MCL.
Yeah.
You can't. Mm. You can't do it.
Well,
and I'm not,
can't you
I'm
shoot
not
for
defending,
pain just to mask the pain?
No, you end up with a blown out knee.
No, I know
that's
that.
That's what ends up happening.
No, you'll do that, but you can.
My whole point was, and I don't like Jay Cutler. I think that he has this, he brings a lot of it on himself. That to me was, this was all about who Jay Cutler is. That's the reaction to me was all about this is a guy who's not very well liked around the league. That's why people lined up and took shots. If this was Tom Brady who couldn't play, everybody would have assumed there's no way Tom Brady could have gone back in the game.
Right.
If this was Peyton Manning, no way Peyton Manning could have gone back into the game. But it's Jay Cutler, and people don't like him because he has that goofy, aloof look on his face all the time with his helmet perched up on his – he doesn't look like he cares.
Yeah. I heard he's retarded or something.
That's the way he looks. But to me, when you don't know what a guy's injury is, I don't know how you can comment on that publicly.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know what it's – I've never had a sprained MCL. I don't know if you can play with that. I heard Scott Zolak talking about it today. He said he had a grade 2 sprained MCL, and there is no way he could play.
And I have some good stories.
And Trent Dilfer on ESPN was saying he's had the same type of thing that Cutler had, and he has tried to tough it out. He said, you shoot it up or you take Vicodin and you go back out there. Well, Cutler did go back out there for the first series in the second half.
So this is the mentality that you're talking about. He's suggesting that he breaks the NFL substance abuse rules. Take Vicodin.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Why didn't I think of that? Why don't you just give me some steroids, too?
And then people related it back to Rivers, actually, in here at Gillette, when he came out with a ACL and tried to play. Mm-hmm. Didn't play well, but, you know, tried doing it. And so
And I agree with Eric. He got hurt late in the first half, went to the locker room before the half was over, and came back out and started the third quarter. I think that's another criticism that he's getting that's undeserved. People say he didn't try to get back in the game.
He did try to get back in the game. And Lovie Smith put the blame on himself in his comments yesterday, saying, look, if you should be mad at anybody, be mad at me. I'm the head coach. I have the final say. The doctors told me he couldn't play, so I'd sat him down.
And all of this stuff that people criticize, and again, I think it's fair game to talk about this. I think it was, like I said, a big stage in front of everybody. And I was talking about this with my brother yesterday. He's on the opposite side. He's killing Cutler. And I didn't argue with him. Maybe he could have played. I don't know. Maybe he should have been on the field and played. Andy might know a little bit more about ins and outs of knee injuries because he had one. I don't know. I don't know what kind of pain he was in.
But that's different for everyone.
As Andy rubs his knee.
I had an MCL, but I think it was a one or three.
I don't know what he could have done, but even the post game, as the pregame for the AFC game was starting, I don't know if did you guys catch any of this.
What
the CBS it was, so it was Cowher and those guys. They were killing Lovie Smith because he put Caleb Haney in the game for the last two plays of the third quarter,
and then if he
which
got
meant
hurt,
that
yeah.
handed
Cutler,
the ball off.
Cutler or Collins couldn't come back in the game,
right?
Neither one of them could have come back into the game.
Right, right.
You think that those two idiots that are killing the coach would know that? But geez, why would he put him in if he didn't have to? Because he had to.
Right.
You know. Plus, Todd Collins is undergoing shoulder surgery this week. Did you know that?
I mean, if one of them could have,
the
you're
game
trying
was
to win.
Over.
You're trying to win the game. You're doing. It's all hands on deck.
Right.
It's last
if my
ditch effort.
Third quarterback
if this
gets
fails,
hurt in the
I'm
going to
lose either way.
I lose.
Yeah. I lose the game, just like I was losing with the other two crap. I mean, that's part of the
Todd
problem.
Collins Todd Collins came in the game and threw about five passes, four of which should have been picked.
He crapped himself. He looked, I mean, anything but the high-priced veteran backup quarterback.
Yeah.
From Walpole.
Do you know he's made like 12? Did you hear that? 12 or 13 million over the last 4 years? What a country.
So Green Bay ends up winning. They move on despite an average, if you know, definitely below standard game for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, that first drive, he looked sharp.
Oh, moved right down the field.
First drive, I thought it was going to be.
I won't have to watch much of this game.
Right.
Then they went up 14-0. I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. But same thing with the Pittsburgh game. They went up 24-0. I'm thinking, this is over.
Now we get to that game, which. That's the game that I think all the Patriots fans were
the grin on his face.
Glued
right
on. I came in yesterday. I was giddy.
You were.
I was giddy. I was.
You were arguing with Paul.
I was dreading an off season of having to listen to Jets.
Wasn't 10 past 9?
Wasn't it?
Wasn't arguing with me?
Because I feel if the Jets got
not
to
at
the,
10 past 9 anyway.
If the Jets got to the Super Bowl, I think they would have won it. You know, I think if they got that far, they probably would have won it.
I'm not so sure.
Anyway, I just had a feeling. You know, but
I'm glad you have a lot of analysis to back that.
You know, the fact that they lost
means they won't win the Super Bowl.
It just makes the offseason that much more tolerable. You know, to have to listen to them all offseason as champions.
But they almost pulled.
They
it
almost
off.
Did it. You got to hand it to them. I mean, they came out in that second half and shut down a team like you've never seen before.
Yeah, Mendenhall went from ridiculous to irrelevant. I had him at 220 yards. Yeah, I don't hate Pittsburgh at all.
Oh, I do. Oh,
I hate I don't know how you can hate them.
But it's all relative.
I don't know how you cannot respect
I don't hate them as much as I hate the Jets.
I hate
the Whereas
fans.
The Jets, I can see a lack of respect. Their owner is hateable. Their coach is hateable if you're
I didn't say you should like the Jets.
I respect the organization.
Oh, come on.
I respect
their
the city.
Chance.
I respect all everything about Pittsburgh except their quarterback.
Towel.
Sorry, no fun league for Paul Pirillo.
I have hated. Here's when I started really hating.
This is
hating.
The year we get one for the thumb.
I respected.
Yeah, they don't need that one anymore.
You had to respect Pittsburgh in the 70s, you know, for what they did. But I started really hating Pittsburgh in 96 when they came here for that playoff game. And there were a lot of Steelers fans here. And they just came in just assuming. I guess. Like a lot of Patriots fans are now, just assuming that they were going to win that game. And they had their black shirts on and their hard hats.
But that's why they're fans, Fred.
No, I understand.
They travel well.
I understand.
Support their team. Wouldn't you want Patriots fans to do that in other cities?
Look, Eric, it's all in fun. You know, it's sports hate.
You wish Patriots fans did that at home. You
know? Well, but with the Jets, it's real hate.
What?
Isn't it?
With the Jets, it's real hate.
But that's my point. Yeah. The Jets are hateable. It's just me, but I hate Woody Johnson. No, I find him very hateable.
I sports hate the Steelers. I condemn the Jets to hell. Okay? Yeah, but
I just dislike Pittsburgh's quarterback. I
know you do, and everybody doesn't like what he did.
But I didn't like him before then.
Yeah, I know.
I loved him. I like him less now.
I respect the hell out of him as a player. I mean, and I'll say this. I said this to Paul, and I know this is sacrilegious in this part of the country. But I have to say, if Roethlisberger was the quarterback of the Patriots against the Jets in that playoff game, the Patriots would have won. Because he can do what Brady can't, which is run the ball when everyone's covered.
And I have to say, I respect Roethlisberger more as a player now than I did a year or two ago.
I don't care about his 35 quarterback.
Not as a person, but as a player.
He won that game. He kept them, you know, alive in that second half, and certainly had a great first half. You know,
but if he had been your quarterback, you wouldn't have been where you were.
Well, that could be.
You would not have been 14-2 with Roethlisberger.
No, look,
because I said to Paul, one thing: if you're a Steelers fan, you love Ben Roethlisberger. But every time he drops back, you have to be on the edge of your seat. You don't know how that play is going to end.
No,
he's going to take a hit. He's going to roll out of it. He's going to throw on the run. He could fumble. He's
going to get up and limp.
He's a gamer. Yeah. He's everything. But when Brady drops back, you assume we're either going to complete this pass or it'll be incomplete.
No,
you don't really have all these thoughts of misery in your mind.
I will take Brady every day of the week. But in that particular game against the Jets, the way they were playing in the matchup, Roethlisberger would have won that
because
game.
Of the mobility issue.
Yes.
Is your point, right?
Yeah.
Well, and Sim said it right on one of the. He dropped back, the middle opened up, and he ran. And Sim said that's the difference this week because you have a quarterback who can move forward and run.
Right.
And Brady couldn't.
Right. And I thought he would. Remember my pregame prediction: 14 yards rushing, for the exact reason.
Where did you come up with that number?
It just comes to me. But anyway, So I respect Roethlisberger. The guy's a winner. You got to admit that. I mean, come on. The guy just hangs on until the Larry and just wins games. So I'm happy that the Steelers won, and I'm going to be even happier if Green Bay beats the Steelers.
Right.
Much more happy. You know.
I'll be rooting for the Steelers, Mendenhall.
Will you?
I'll have my Mendenhall jersey on.
Traitor.
Our listeners purchased me a Mendenhall jersey. He is ridiculous, which you all saw against the Jets defense, especially in the first half.
By the way,
half.
Did you see him humping Roethlisberger?
Yes. Yeah, that went viral on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah.
And I said it at the time. I said to my wife, that's going to be on YouTube
in about
5 minutes.
It was strange. I'll admit it.
That was kind of weird.
There was like three or four quick humps.
Did it move, Andy?
Yeah.
No. What? No. What do you mean?
Andy thought.
Not as far as you know.
Andy wanted to do
it. It's more likely to move when he has the nice 35-yard run than it is when he's humping another man.
Because that's legit. That's, you know,
Mendenhall is ridiculous. But I will be rooting for him. I'll also be rooting for James Starks on the other side of the ball because my running backs are meeting in the Super Bowl.
You need a.
Like
you said, you need a half and half jersey.
Yeah. A fo-fo. You know, the green four of the Packers and then the gold four of the Steelers.
So. But it was great to see Rex Ryan throw down his headset afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't care. For you, there was a mic'd up Roethlisberger thing. And you know how I always say those Favre ones, even if you hate him, you leave it saying, he's kind of funny. He makes you laugh when he's mic'd up. Mm-hmm. There was a good Roethlisberger one on the other day where he was funny, human. There was a bunch of stuff where Tomlin, it was kind of Favre-like. Tomlin comes to him and yells at him for something. And he goes, is this the John Wayne one? Enough of the John Wayne crap. Stop doing the John Wayne crap. Tomlin goes, no, I'm not using all my bullets just yet, but that's coming if you don't stop it. And it was very funny. I mean, even though you think, okay, so the guy raped a girl or whatever, he's an a-hole. But in that little moment, it was funny, and he seemed like kind of a nice guy. Because he was laughing with, like, a ball boy or a towel kid handing him a towel.
That's like when Holmgren used to always tell Favre, you know, enough with
the
run.
Are we done now? Are we done with that? It was the same kind of stuff.
Well, after the
game, both guys, you know, get in trouble with their junk and women all the time.
After the game, in my obsession, I couldn't help but I had to go to the New York channel and watch the Jets post-game show. And they've got a panel. They've got Adam Schein from Sirius Network.
Oh, I hate
Ray
that
Lucas,
guy. That voice.
Joe Klecko and some other host who I don't even know his name. But Joe Klecko sounds like he's punch drunk. Sounds like he went 12 rounds with and he's got tears in his eyes. And Ray Lucas is the guy who's like, you know, Mr. Objective and saying special teams sucked and all this stuff. And, you know, Adam Schein's the excitable guy. But, you know, they went from the panel to Rex Ryan's press conference in its entirety. And, you know, Ryan, he's just simple. I don't think he can help himself. And, you know, maybe I'm a paranoid, but a couple of his comments, you know, the Steelers are a real football team. As opposed to who?
The team they played last week.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
He's taking a gratuitous shot.
Right. And then during the game, Sims says something that Ryan had relayed to him about when they picked Sanchez. He goes, you know, Ryan said to Sims, we knew we were going to be a running team, so we were fine with picking Sanchez. Really? You pick a guy in the first round and give him $40 million because you're going
to
be a running football team? That's 2020 hindsight.
But
you know,
can I ask you a question? Did he mean
no,
it for the short term or the
yes.
long term? Did he mean he wasn't quite NFL ready, but
who
we knew for a year we would be defense and run?
That's exactly
or did
how
he mean
he
for 5 years he's just going to suck? He's not that good, but we'll take him.
They knew when they picked him, this guy's not going to be ready. We'll be a running team. They knew that?
Yeah,
yes.
They did.
And you give him all that money?
Yes.
Yeah, you're giving him the money to be a franchise quarterback, not necessarily to win games in week 1, 5, or 7 in his
That's
first
That's why
year.
They thought they could win with him immediately because they wouldn't be asking him to do whole lot.
I think that they expected a little bit more out of Sanchez from the start.
Right. They expected to win the Super Bowl as a rookie instead of just go to an AFC title game.
Right.
And they did that because of Mark Sanchez?
No.
Are we going to get into this argument?
No.
Did they not
did that
do it because of him?
They did it because of their defense. They did it in spite of Mark Sanchez.
But did they fall short of the Super Bowl because of Mark Sanchez?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, they had a lead at Indy going into the half.
Yeah, but it was a very, what was it, 7-6?
17-6.
17-6?
Yeah.
You know,
something like that, right?
And going back to the media thing, Freddie, I heard yesterday, I won't name my source, but I heard some of the Jets media was like openly clapping and cheering in our press box. Was that true? Any of you remember that?
I didn't notice
the Jets media.
That's what I heard back during.
They were kind of loud.
No,
but
that's what I heard.
I didn't
hear
that.
Not at all. Matter of fact, opposite.
I thought that was
interesting. I thought it was very quiet and tense.
I thought they were waiting for the shoe to drop the whole time. That totally would disregard that.
Interesting.
Totally. Because all the New York guys are right in front of us.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I figured I'd ask you guys first.
They were all waiting for someone to make a colossal mistake and lose the game. That's how those New York guys are. They're all cynical.
They're worse than the
Way worse than us.
Yeah. No, I didn't get that. I thought it was...
If any cheering was going on, it was in Pittsburgh last week when they lost. Because now they could truly be happy.
As a matter of fact, I remember in the blog, somebody asked me, what's the mood in the press box? And it was like 3/4 of the way through the game. I said it was very quiet. Tense.
It was.
Yeah. You know, now there's that far corner that I call the cocktail hour, where all the TV people are. And they never even sit down. They like mill about and drink and eat.
There is an element, too. There's different people in the press box.
Yeah.
They're not all
especially
media.
For that game.
It's not all media. There's the Jets entourage comes right behind us. Woody Johnson, we saw go in, and remember we were mad because
he was making all kinds of noise
during the national anthem.
That's another reason why I hate him. He's a dink.
But so I'm sure they made some noise coming back out.
Close with Robert.
Who?
Woody Johnson.
Well, they were posing for pictures before the game.
They're not buddy buddies.
So I can rip him a little bit.
Oh sure.
Okay, dink.
Oh sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Strippers wants to remind us to also talk about the dirty Sanchez and wiping the booger on Mark Brunell on national TV.
I missed it. Heard a lot of talk of it, but missed it.
Yeah,
I heard more talk about that Monday morning than I did about anything else. Which told me what those guys knew about the
game. Well, they said that was the Jets' best penetration in the first half, is Sanchez's nose and his finger. Oh, I mean, and his finger and his nose.
You even screwed that up.
So I was happy that the Jets lost, but it was a great game. It ended up being a real nail biter. And, you know, Steelers did everything they could to help the Jets back in.
Well, I said this to you yesterday. I always find it funny in these situations where a relative key player goes down injured, and the backup looks like he's never played the position before, never, you know, taken a snap since middle school, whatever. And that happened with, is it Legarski? The backup
Legarski,
center.
Yeah.
You know, they snapped the ball, and they end up with the safety, and they had a couple issues with different snaps. And, Paul, I said it reminded me of, remember when Veritek had to catch Wakefield in the postseason, and it was like pass ball. Last year he caught him or whatever, and it was fine. It's like these situations, the situation pressures the guy into pooping himself. He thinks about the issue, and that Legarski guy was caught with his pants down.
Legarski,
that snap on the safety was like, it's like he was shotgun snapping it past his hands. It never got up into his hands. It was terrible. Right. One of the worst snaps I've ever
Legarski's
seen.
Legarski's got that type of name where you always, like, picture the coach, the old coach on the sideline going, Legarski, get over here! You know, because he's screwed up again.
Yeah, so why is he your backup center, though?
I don't know.
They have issues on that O-line. They've been injured all year.
Yeah. I mean, when Pouncey went down, I was like, oh, God. You know?
But you know Legarski's taken snaps in practice, and likely hasn't had, you know, three in a row go bad or something, because they wouldn't have him as the backup. But he poops himself because it's a playoff game, and oh, my God, I got to go in.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, give credit to that Jets defense, though, once again in the second half. I mean, they just shut them down like a vice. And
they showed up in the first half.
Yeah, and that first half, it was just the exact opposite. It was like they had a, you know, that letdown we talked about that could happen after the Jets Super Bowl win for them. It happened.
And give Mendenhall credit. He was tremendous in the first half.
But they were just missing tackles.
That 1 8-yard run that he had where there were like three guys in the backfield and he broke it, was tremendous. You got to give him credit for making them miss. I don't know why I just shut my mic off. For making them miss a lot of arm tackles, and he made plays in that first half.
Yeah.
Certainly wasn't the offensive line dominating the front. He made a lot of plays on his own there or with little help.
You know, so there was a time early last week where I said, you know what, I'm not even going to watch. I'm glad I did. They were both entertaining games.
They were.
I don't think they were both necessarily well-played games, as we've seen all season from all teams.
As we talked about. Right?
But not as bad as I thought it could have gotten.
Oh, no, not at all.
I thought there was a chance that they
be like a field goal battles. And,
yeah. But those, they were well enough played for the.
It was very entertaining. Before we go to break, one thing, though, Hockley, his crew, terrible. I thought once again, I mean, they evened out toward the end, but they had I thought they started that game off terribly. They had like three or four.
But they're there because they graded out.
Yeah. Our guy, Terry McCauley in the other game, the guy that came to camp with us last year.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah, but.
Of course, the guy doing the grading, or formerly, is the guy that's on the broadcast saying, I really think this is going to be overturned. And literally a half a second, play is upheld over review. Like, that's the guy that was grading him before. So maybe that's why you end up with all this mess.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of emails coming in. People are still ramped up. It's football season, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year here. Gillette Stadium.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
This is weird, huh? Using the internet on an airplane?
Yeah, American Airlines did a good thing here, putting Wi-Fi on their flights.
You know, I actually had the idea a while back.
For Wi-Fi?
Yeah, but my idea wasn't called Wi-Fi.
Okay, what was it called, Brian?
It was called Bri-Fi.
Wow, that's very clever, Brian.
Yeah? Get it? Bri-Fi.
Unfortunately, I do.
Because I'm the Bri?
Wi-Fi. Now available on select flights. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Cell phones used to be just cell phones, but today, you can't live without them, like water or coffee. They're indispensable. Take AA.com Mobile from American Airlines. I can book a flight, switch seats, or change my itinerary, all while I'm in line at the coffee shop. It's a wonder I ever put this thing down.
Manage your flight from the palm of your hand with AA.com Mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Of course, when it's time to pick up my double foam mega mocha latte, sometimes I need a free hand.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline if you want to get in. We have an open line. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Did you want to talk Welker?
Yeah, in a minute. One other thing about Rex Ryan.
He's the one who wanted to talk about him earlier.
He's more infatuated with the Jets than he is with his own team.
That's weird.
I think Florio called him out nicely in one of his post-game comments. He said, you know, it's no one has a right to criticize them for the way that they conduct themselves. And Florio said, look, if you're going to conduct yourself like that, you're seeking attention. And if when you seek attention like that, you come under criticism. So you got to accept it, you know? Don't complain because people are criticizing you because you're out there with your balls hanging out. You know?
All right.
So I just thought I'd get that in. Yeah, Wes Welker.
Eric, do you want to read Wes Welker's comments to Karen Garigian in the
Karen
San Francisco
Garigian
airport?
Karen was in the airport on the way to Hawaii.
En route to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl, caught up with Welker.
And had what we call in the industry a good get.
A good get. Very good get. She asked him if he regretted at all the comments he made in that press conference leading up to the Jets game, and he said, yeah, sure I do. I'm not going to get into any details about it, but I don't think it was worth putting Coach Belichick in that situation, so in a sense I do regret it. As much as you might want to get enticed into that stuff, at the end of the day, it's just not worth it. He went on further, but I mean that's the thrust of the story was he regretted his decision, and I think I was telling Andy this when we were talking about it earlier. This kind of puts the kibosh on anybody who was thinking, oh, he's going to be upset at his benching and he's going to want to be traded or whatever. I don't think so.
We'll see what happens when it comes to
going. Well, it also I think it's important for the younger guys to hear Wes say that. Because, you know, if the rule is don't do it, I think Belichick is more worried about the other guy. He doesn't have to worry about Wes Welker. He knows Wes Welker's going to come out and play and not worry about distractions. But when a guy of Wes Welker's stature does that type of stuff, I think he's more worried about how does that affect the younger guys. So hearing Wes Welker say that publicly, I think – Belichick probably liked that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to back up your point, Fred, and I agree with it, is that he's saying specifically, I shouldn't have put Coach Belichick in that situation. Mm-hmm.
Right, naming him specifically. He goes on, I think the best way to stick up for your teammates is on the field. I like the fact we don't get caught up in all that stuff. At the end of the day, it's about football. That's what it's supposed to be about. That's all that matters. It's concentrating on your job and what you do, not concentrating on the riffraff that goes on with all the other stuff. It's about the team, and I'm going out there and playing good football, not getting caught up in all the media hype. It's just not worth it. It's not always easy to keep a lid on it.
Sure.
But at like the same time, right. But at the same time, there's a greater goal, and that's winning the game and playing good football. That's what matters. All that other stuff doesn't matter at the end of the
day.
And it
is interesting, you know.
Mea culpa from Wes Welker.
When you say something like that, no matter who your coach is, it's going to come back to the coach.
Of course.
He's going to be asked in the press conference, all right, what about what your guy said?
I don't think that's the situation that he's talking about. I think the situation is he has a rule that he says, if you guys break this rule, I have to – there's going to be repercussions.
Right.
And he put him in a situation where he had to suspend one of his best players.
Or else make his coach look like a hypocrite.
Right.
I mean,
that's what I took
I think from. That's the situation he's talking about.
You could be right.
That's how I read that.
Yeah.
That is a tough situation because I'm sure Bill Belichick didn't want to automatically bench him.
Why couldn't this be Brandon Dedrick? I already suspended him for nothing. You know, I can do that again.
So there is a decision.
But it's Wes Welker I got to suspend now because if I don't, I look like a fool. And I think that's the situation that he's talking about.
I think you might be right there. Yep. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. So all that stuff's on the table.
Jesus.
That was Kevin Collins
blowing his nose behind the glass. And all those geese that fly over training
Patriots
camp practice just swooped in.
Darius from the accounting office writes in.
Butler?
I'm sorry, but I can remember times when Brady would run, even if it only netted a few yards. I know he's slow, but he can't be that slow that he can't run to gain 2 yards and be 2nd and 8 rather than 2nd and 17. Come on, man. Brady simply looked shook up and confused. I don't think I ever have seen Peyton that shook up. Also, what happened to Hernandez in the last few games? I can believe that Brady could never find a big target like that. I blame Brady and the game plan. Horrible.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about the times he was bouncing around and could have run, or when he was sacked, he didn't really have the opportunity to run. He was sacked. The times he had the chance to run, those were either completions or incompletions. They didn't end in sacks. So you're talking not 2nd and 17 versus 2nd and 8. You're talking 2nd and 10 versus 2nd and 8 or 2nd and 1 or whatever.
I would agree with that.
And the chance that he goes all Cutler on you and gets carted off the field because he gets hit at the end of the run.
I also think that anybody that's talking about any significant runs that he's made is thinking back to pre-injury.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying he hasn't run for a first down since he got hurt. He has, but not very often.
Right.
He hasn't had a significant run that wasn't a quarterback sneak very often since that.
And I still get back to, if you ask Rex Ryan, if you see Tom Brady run, do you consider that a victory for your defense? And
absolutely.
I'm sure he would answer 100 times, yes. Even if he picks up
even if he gets
17
a first down.
Yards. I don't care how many.
Even if he gets a first down once in a while.
A victory if Tom Brady runs. You don't lose to Tom Brady because he ran.
That run he had against Chicago here,
the Urlacher.
06, so the Urlacher play was probably the best run he's had.
He's got that. He's got. He scored the touchdown in the Snow Bowl, which was his big one.
But
the spike.
Why is it? And I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Didn't he run for one in Pittsburgh this year?
Yeah.
Is it a victory
like
to see
2 yards up the middle?
Yeah.
Is it a victory to see Ben Roethlisberger run?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Why?
Because Tom Brady's not going to beat you running. He's going to beat you dissecting you from the pocket.
Roethlisberger's a tougher quarterback to get down in the open field.
And Tom Brady's also not going to beat you a lot by throwing
on
the
run. If you can get Tom Brady out of the pocket running around, he's not going to beat you with his arm very
absolutely.
Often.
That's the idea.
Ben Roethlisberger, you get him out of the pocket running around, he will beat you running and he'll
that's
beat you passing.
That's the idea. But sometimes you got to take what they give you. You know?
Those 2 yards. Okay, you think it's worth it. I think it's worth nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I think if you got 14 yards rushing like you had hoped and prayed for, you'd have lost 28-21. That's what I think. I don't think that he failed on opportunities to run for first downs that he had and failed to do so.
Travis in Tallahassee, let me start off by saying Rashard Mendenhall was ridiculous in the first half. The Jets played a pretty good game, but I think they weren't ready for that. The first half looked like they just played 2 days before, but the key to their loss was the horrible play calling by Schottenheimer down the stretch. Now, as a Patriots fan, I would love to see the Packers beat the Steelers, which is going to bring up another question. Is Aaron Rodgers among the great quarterbacks in the league? For me, it's still only Brady and Manning. What's your guys' thoughts? Also, any chance Manning doesn't sign with the Colts?
No chance of that. He'll be a Colt.
I guess I heard yesterday they have started talks on that.
Yeah.
I agree with the emailer. I think it's still Brady and Manning. And I put Rodgers in the next group. I think he is one of the great quarterbacks.
I think he's got to do it over an extended period.
But he's not, to me, he's not Brady and Manning.
He's got the potential.
I don't think he's as good as those guys.
He's got the potential. We'll see. It's too early. Right now, he's playing.
Part of the greatness is consistently great.
Yeah,
you have
exactly.
To do it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, but I mean within a game, within everything, at the right time, at the key times. That's why Roethlisberger has more of that. You know, the plays he needs to make, he makes. But he doesn't do it when he doesn't really need to make a play. Just the Joe average, you see him do three and outs where you say, he's not very good.
When Pittsburgh
he's not that good. Right. But you don't see Brady and Manning often three and out and you go, that's just not a good quarterback right there. I know he's got Super Bowls, but he's just not that good. You see that with some of these other guys that can't consistently have that high bar all the time. Every
about,
throw, early, late, fourth quarter, third quarter, second down, first, everything.
2008, I think, when Pittsburgh last won it, I think it was 08.
Against Arizona?
You remember that season? They were pretty good, obviously, that whole season. He had a lot of first halves that year where he would be like 16 for 21 for 228 and two touchdowns.
Right.
And he'd end up, 18 for 25.
Right.
Because they do what they need to do to win.
Right.
And they were able to, obviously their identity is, defense and running the ball. And they kind of got away from that a little bit more. I still think they can't win without Roethlisberger throwing.
Right.
Even now. But I think that we get lost in the stats, and I know that Jerry's been all over this, Jerry Callahan on WEEI, just killing them. And it's clear that
just ridiculous.
He's a rapist, so I don't like him.
Right.
So that's, and
right.
That's fine.
And just say that.
That's
though.
Fine. If you don't like him because of that, there's a lot less things that you shouldn't, less deserving things to not like a guy about than that. So anybody that doesn't like him because of the personal stuff, I have no problem with. But to say he's not a great quarterback because he doesn't have the stats, that's insane.
Well, like you said,
to me, though,
one of the things they pointed out,
he only
completed three passes in the second half. He only threw five.
He threw five.
Right.
That's what they do.
Anyone
they do that
who gets
a lot.
The numbers, it's a stupid argument. But you watch the games, to me, he is not as consistent as Manning and Brady
Absolutely
throwing the football.
Not. And that's why I wouldn't put him in.
About that.
He can do a lot of things they can't do.
Right.
But just flat out throwing the football, to me, he makes throws that leave you going, what was he doing there? Or why did that throw
end
even up like
Aaron Rodgers is a better pure quarterback passer than Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
but
I agree with that.
But he hasn't had the winning... hasn't proven to be a winning quarterback like
Roethlisberger. I look
at it. If you'd keep it's not Cutler, but it's kind of like we say with Cutler. Sometimes you watch him and you think, he's the greatest gift to the quarterback position that's ever played.
That's
and then other times
comparison.
You watch him and you're like, he stinks. He's Jamarcus Russell.
Jeff George is a good comparison, I think.
Threw a beautiful-looking ball.
Manning and Brady for a decade.
And could throw it 80 yards.
Right.
He never won any games.
Never won anything.
Jeff George. No. But
although Cutler never won anything until this year either.
So I think Brady and Manning are just so far apart when you do it for a decade. To me, the closest thing is Breeze because he's got the Super Bowls. He's been good in San Diego. He's been good in New Orleans. He's just pretty good.
Mm.
To me, he's that closest one knocking on the door. And I think he kind of entered it but didn't really
didn't
last
have a good
year.
Season.
The door, I think the door opened for him and it slammed in his face this year.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I don't think he had a very good year.
He didn't, and I think it's because it's mental with him. He's trying to do too much. And I think that might be his coach's fault, too, not
when he gets in all this psycho in.
Not
why
forcing him to manage the game better. Like a lot of his mistakes are just trying to make something out of nothing. Roethlisberger does the same thing, the John Wayne mentality.
He did get into the flip thing a lot this year. I saw him throw more passes flipping the ball.
Who are you talking about?
Breeze.
Oh.
Then I don't watch a lot of them, but I don't remember seeing that many highlights. And all of a sudden, he's flipping the ball left and right to trying to these late last minute plays.
Well, I think that what you saw from him was. That the running game that he had last year was a little bit better than maybe a lot of us thought because it was totally taken away from him this year because they were all hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Bush was out. Thomas was out. That new guy, Ivory, was out. And it was all him. And what you saw was a little bit less explosive offense than what we had seen in their Super Bowl year.
Adam in Florida says, all I can say is thank God. I couldn't listen to another day of Rex's fat ass or the Jets talking about what they're going to do. Now, hopefully, the Packers can take the Super Bowl and no harm done. I'm looking forward to the offseason and the draft.
You hate
What's
everyone?
That?
I hate the Packers. I can't root for them.
Even when the Patriots lost to the Packers in 96.
Bunch of obnoxious, arrogant jerks.
I walked back from the stadium to the hotel, and the Packers fans in their garb.
Killing me.
No, they
were
not to Paul.
Well, I don't know what you were doing, but to me, they were like, hey, we'll probably see you next year. You know, I hope we do. It was a good game.
Yeah,
you know, they were.
Not me.
Well, you were probably egging them on, though.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was doing. I'm pouting my way back to the. Didn't even have a beer. Pouting my way
never
back.
Never had a beer.
No, it was all Hurricanes.
Yeah. No.
You were there as a fan.
Not one
right?
beer.
Didn't have
so
one
So you
drink.
Went as a fan and you didn't have one drink?
Didn't have one drink at the Super Bowl. I don't.
He has no fun in anything.
I usually like to watch the game.
On a Saturday night, he drinks a case no reason. And then he goes to the Super Bowl and he doesn't have a beer.
I'm not doing anything Saturday night. I'm doing something
no
on Sunday.
But what were you doing?
Watching the game.
He doesn't want to be drunk watching a game.
No, I don't say you have to be drunk, but you didn't have
no,
one
but
beer.
No, but he, you know, one or two beers, and he's...
No, I had plenty after
all
the game.
It's all red, and like he was in the press box. Talking loud.
I did. I had plenty after the game.
Yeah.
At the Fairmont.
You needed to drown your...
I stayed at the Fairmont that night.
You had problems with...
Oh, God, tons of them. Killing us. We had a big group of guys. It was probably about 8 or 10 of us.
Yeah.
And we were all decked out in Patriots gear. Hats, shirts, guys right. asking me if they were $5 for the whole outfit, you know, just sarcastic.
His brother
laughing.
Had to pull him off somebody.
Yeah, I told him to go to the anatomically impossible.
Wow. Anyway, let's finish.
Then I told him to do that to his mother.
What did he expect?
See, now, there you go.
You didn't expect some heckling from, I mean, they just won the Super Bowl. You're in your
I've
Pats
never
club.
Done that to anybody in my life. Not once.
He has no fun in sports.
That's fun. That's
that
fun
part
to
of
you?
The fun. You win, you get to talk poo that day.
See, I have fun when my team wins. I take enjoyment out of that. I don't find it fun at all to
but
make sure that somebody
wins,
else
head down and walk home.
Make sure
quietly.
Someone no. I if they had like walked by us and they were celebrating, high fiving, no problem at all. They came over to us to antagonize us.
I think that's.
I've never done that in my life. I don't take any. Do you take enjoyment out
no,
of that?
No, I don't.
Do you
that
call
either.
Up like?
I think that's
do you have a,
good
do you have
fun.
A friend?
Unless I know a friend.
I think
and
it's
we're kidding
do you
around.
Have a friend? That's what I was going right, to ask right, you. Yeah. I've never done that in my life.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it to a stranger.
See, I think that's
yeah,
because
you
of
never
it.
Know how the stranger's going to react.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah, like Paul, just, he'll take a swing at you.
What? You never know.
Yeah, I don't.
Lucky my brother was there.
I know how I would feel in that
grab
position.
Grab me by the back of the
and
neck.
And I wouldn't want them to do it to me.
See, I would expect it because that's what it's about.
That's the only time it's ever happened
it's
to me.
It's a rivalry.
I've been.
Yeah, but to people you know, okay.
To people you know, it's.
See, but I think there's a knowledge
that
there.
That guy
of
might have just lost his mortgage on the game, and you know.
Well, that's his problem.
Well, that's what
I
told him.
He's
did.
An idiot.
Yeah. But you don't know.
That's
the
actually what I told. I told him it's too bad you had to sell your trailer park to get here.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
See, but that's good. That to me, that's what it's supposed to be. A back
but
and
I didn't
forth.
Say that was on. That wasn't unsolicited. This was after I got. Assaulted.
I think that's part of it. I think you expect it.
To strangers?
Yes.
See, I'm not surprised.
In that
this
environment.
How can
where
you
there's
be surprised
a group of
this is how he does his
30
whole life.
Packers fans and 30 Patriots fans. You guys both came in with an understanding. One of us is going to win today, and we're going to celebrate, and the other's going to lose, and we're going to make fun of you.
Celebrate all you want. No problem with that. I'm telling you, I've been to games at Buffalo, at the Meadowlands for the Jets, out in San Diego. I've been to all kinds of,
no,
as a visiting fan,
I'm
never has anybody
games.
Ever
I'm not,
once
no.
said a word to me.
I'm talking about big games.
Okay,
like
so
I would
has
put
to be
the Jets
game.
In there. Rivalries.
Make fun of me for my rules. He has more stipulations.
No, but if you beat the Jaguars, you don't just start yelling at the. And the guy's got it tough enough. He's a Jaguars.
At the AFC
fan.
Championship game, I didn't seek out all the Jaguars fans on my way out so I could taunt them.
You should have.
Why?
Because that's what it's about.
I was excited that my team won.
See,
I wasn't excited
that
because
that guy was
about.
Miserable.
The only time I would do it is if I was at a game and let's just say
and
I was,
someone was giving it to me. Absolutely.
Or I was like four rows away from something. The whole game, they're like blah blah blah, and your team ends up winning. I think after the game, I would say, hey, you know,
yes.
I'd say
I
something.
Absolutely,
to.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. You're supposed to.
Why
That's
are you
when
supposed
it's appropriate.
To? Why can't you have class? Why are you supposed to do that?
Okay, well, we'll read a book afterwards together and have
no,
a Bible
you,
study.
You
like,
why are you saying
you
that?
You have fun.
Why is it?
You make fun of the other
why
team
is that
for
the
losing
only way
and you
to have,
celebrate
but
yours.
Why is that the only way to have fun? Why can't you be excited that you won? Why is that
I
not
I think
fun?
That's part of it.
Like, why Eric and I at the game, you know, high-fiving, jumping in on each other, you know, getting all excited. Why isn't that fun?
It is.
Why do
that's
I have to go and find
it.
The
you
guy
yours,
with the other color shirt on and make fun of him? Why is that the only way to have fun?
See, I think that's fun. I think you go in because you have
okay,
something
you,
to lose. That's part of
but
it.
But you make it sound like you either do that
that's
or you
weight.
Go read a book. There's an in-between there.
You got to remember, Paul, fun. You're talking to someone whose idol
this is how he lives his whole life.
Just
he
somebody
he lives to make fun of people.
He's not my idol.
But
he's one of three.
Isn't part of the interest in sports?
It explains a lot to me. This is how he lives his whole life.
Isn't part of the interest that you have something to lose?
Sure.
You go into a game against your rival with something. That's why you're on edge. That's why there's a rush.
Sure.
Because if there was nothing to lose, it's useless. It's not fun. There's no rush.
I hear that.
So part of having something to lose is having to deal with the loss. Deal with the other team's fans, whether it's coworkers,
at
the game,
the other team's fans know that when they see you celebrating, that's painful enough.
Right?
It's painful enough to see another team's fans celebrating.
But they also know when you say something to them.
I agree with Fred's point.
Yeah,
if you're being obnoxious the whole game, and then at the end your team loses, you brought it on yourself.
Right. Like Rex Ryan.
Exactly.
Yes.
If you bring it on yourself. If you know a friend who roots for another team, you call him up, you bust his balls, whatever.
Right.
If you don't know the person,
I don't even
taking a big risk.
See, I don't think
you're taking a big risk.
That's the problem with this world, that it could possibly turn into a fight. Why are we fighting? It's part of what we're here to do.
Make fun of each other.
That's
part of what we're here
to do. It's an emotional game.
Yeah, exactly.
And people get emotional.
And there should be some.
I'm by no means a saint, but I don't think that's part of it.
Why do the Patriots do the lights out dance on the field after the game?
It's emotional.
Because it's an emotional. Okay, that's fine. You think all of it's classless. You're not allowed to celebrate victory. I understand that. We're in the no fun league.
You can't celebrate victory without mocking the other team.
I think if you have a sack dance,
this
if
is,
you
again,
have
it,
a
it's
home
like
run
reading
thing,
the book, there's like no in between.
If you have one of those, you're setting yourself up for the, if you don't want to partake in any of that, then you don't celebrate yours with some extravagant, crazy dance. You don't get it thrown back in your face. If you have no dance, it doesn't get thrown back in your face.
I don't understand what's wrong with just being excited about being winning and celebrate all you
different.
Want.
I don't mind that either.
I think you take the fun out of it.
Like,
I don't mind the passion.
The Jets didn't have fun on this
passion.
Field after that game?
Yeah, it did. Flying around like this.
Did they taunt anybody in the Patriots?
You don't think backflips and flying by a guy as a Jet is taunting?
No.
Well, you're ridiculous then.
That's the Jets' thing. Like,
that's
the lights out dance.
If a Packers guy had flown by you in a cheese head, you would have punched him in the face because you don't think it's appropriate.
If he said it
to me? He's going to keep his head down and just enjoy his victory to himself.
No, if he walked by me and he was doing a celebration dance, what do I care? That's fine.
You would take disrespect at that.
Andy, this is a whole different thing that you're
you
talking
would definitely
about.
Take disrespect
he came over and definitely disrespected us.
Did he call you? What did he do? Give me some examples.
I can't use the language.
Because there's obviously a line, but there's good-natured, and there's you cross the line.
Right.
I've lost track of the rules.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm not okay with offensive.
Good-natured ribbing.
Did Antonio Cromartie cross a line? Yes. But you can do the same types of things.
Yeah.
You can make fun of Tom Brady, call him Justin Bieber, but when you call him an a-hole, you crossed a line. Everybody knows there was a line, and you crossed
it. But I think that you have to be careful. I mean, and was particularly specifically talking about strangers on a street. You know,
at a game. I'm not just talking on a street.
Whatever.
The game.
Yeah.
The event. The event that you are at.
I think there's, and I'm not exactly sure what it is. It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it. But there's a difference between good-natured ribbing where the recipient understands they're just fooling around.
And that's what I'm calling for.
And if I don't know
really,
you, if I don't know who you are and you're coming up to me and you're ribbing me, that's not good-natured to me.
Yeah. See, I disagree totally with that.
That's fine.
Well, I think that's part
that's
of the fun. That's part of the investment.
You do that to me and Eric every day.
I think body language.
I'm not surprised.
We're going to get into all this psychology. I think body language. If you go up to the guy with your chest out and you're huffing and puffing and you're not smiling, I think Paul's going to take offense.
How about if you're just walking in the group and all of a sudden the guy?
No, but I think
I
would
this would come back. There was a flaw.
No, this guy's challenging me. He's challenging.
Exactly.
He
got right in my face and he points to me. He's like, "I'll give you $5 for the whole effing thing." You know, he's just being obnoxious. He's being a jerk.
You're going to get a go F yourself back.
Exactly.
And
it's a character flaw on my part because
without
I got
the F-bomb, I have no problem with what the guy said. To me, that's fine.
I'm by no means a saint.
Devalued.
I don't
your
understand.
Outfit is devalued. I'll give you $5 for it because that's a loser outfit. That I have no problem with. The F-bomb is not necessary.
The guy calls you a loser. You have no problem with that.
You were a loser that day. Okay. Your team lost, so you were bunched in as a
you
loser.
You talk about stretch and a half. I mean, whatever. Fine.
I just think I
it's
don't
me.
Know.
It's just me. I know.
I think
oh,
you're.
Oh boy.
I don't think you're willing, Andy, to accept that there is a line.
No, I just said there's a line.
Why? I don't understand F-bombs why you can't be happy that you won and celebrate
F-bombs
with your friends.
Are not necessary. There is a line. I just said
the least
there's
of
a line.
What I was mad about.
But I think
was the
there's
fact
a lot of
good
natured ribbing going, and I think there should be.
Well,
if you can't do that, that's part of the problem.
No,
if it's going to lead to fights all the
but
time.
But I don't think good natured is. I'll give you $5 for the whole effing thing.
Well, even if he didn't say F,
to a stranger.
To a stranger.
Forget the F.
I have no problem with the rest. I have no problem with the rest.
I don't see the difference.
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
You know,
I think I always
maybe you break the ice a little. You see a guy like Paul say, "Hey, that was a good game, huh?" You know, and then you with a smile you lead into the joke,
sure,
or something, you know.
But to
there's
me,
a way to
part
do
of
it.
The investment is knowing you have something to lose. You're going to have to deal with
it. And you've lost it.
Right.
You feel bad enough. I don't know.
Because you have nothing to lose.
I know what you're saying, but I think that you're not willing to see when.
It's just like you said. You don't want to have to hear the Jets talk about their title.
Right, but I'll
there's
accept
something
it.
To lose.
Yeah. I'll accept
you have
it
to hear about it because they won.
They deserve
that's
the
why.
Right. But they deserve the right to do that because they won.
Right.
But that's
going
to make you feel bad that your team lost as opposed to somebody, you know, coming up to you and disrespecting your space.
See, I just don't get the whole disrespecting my space thing. To me, you were on edge already. You were looking to be disrespected.
I told you it would come back. It was my fault. I
brought
it on.
Is,
I brought it on.
Who is Paul?
I mean, I
don't get the whole disrespecting my space thing.
I'm walking down the street with a bunch of guys.
With a bunch of guys in Patriots
and
garb
other
after
guy,
the Super Bowl.
And other guys
and
come over into my circle.
Fans to say anything. Like, it's the biggest event in the world. And you put your, to me, if you
I put myself
that,
up, see what I mean? I knew it was me. I put myself in that
yes.
spot.
To me, if you're with
I
a group
I had the audacity
guys,
to put a Patriots hat on.
To me, if
in
you're
a
with a group
Bledsoe
of guys,
shirt.
In, all in Patriots garb, you're putting yourselves out there as we are part of the team, the experience for today.
And he put himself in my face, and I got back in his. What's wrong
yeah,
with
see,
that? I'm wrong. I don't
I mean,
understand
was he
it.
He was face to face with you.
All
like,
I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on
and,
him,
and,
pounding
and,
the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
But see, what you don't understand, Andy, is what was Paul supposed to do? Just
no, stand there and say my team lost. That's,
I don't know.
I put myself out there.
I don't know the
I can't,
situation.
I have
feel,
nothing to say.
I mean, if the guy was nose to nose with me, okay, he's disrespecting my space. But I don't know where
even,
that line
even
is.
Even if he's 5 feet away and he's got his,
I would have. I
wouldn't
said
have if he was
something.
5 feet away, Fred.
You know me, I would have said something.
If he was 5 feet away, I wouldn't have reacted the way I reacted. He got over in my face, and I'm telling you, if my brother wasn't there, I would still be on top of the guy. Punching him every time until he was not breathing anymore.
You know, see, he's gonna kill a guy because the guy
sounds
disrespected.
Familiar.
Like, I don't. I just don't understand that.
It was a he though, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. We haven't finished Adam's email, but he says, "Have you heard anything about potential prospects at the Senior Bowl?" Just curious.
Mark Ingram. I'm hearing Mark Ingram is a sleeper running back that's really opening some eyes at the Senior Bowl. That's what Ian Rappaport reported this morning.
I'm hoping the young guys took this playoff loss as a serious
Kevin
lesson.
Kevin Falk with 20 more pounds.
And Bill as well. Maybe
I mean,
now
thanks,
Bill
Ian.
Realizes that
he's
we need some serious
trophy.
Attitude injected
like
on both sides
back.
Of the ball.
Kid?
He's better than Mark Ingram. Sorry, Fred.
Yeah, after seeing him play in person.
Is that disrespectful, Fred?
Go kill him. Go pound him until he stops breathing.
Sorry, he doesn't Fred. Talk when he's supposed to talk.
I can't
but
say
then,
the
yeah.
word. But did you notice he swore, though? I mean, don't you have to do something
yeah.
about that? Take it out.
He or... just looked at us.
I'm
going
to find it and use it as a bit or something.
Take it out of the replay.
Adam says, I'm hoping the young guys took this playoff loss as a serious lesson and Bill as well. Maybe now Bill realizes that we need some serious attitude injected on both sides of the ball, especially at the line of scrimmage. That's all I could think about when I watched the Steelers-Jets about how much attitude and toughness the Steelers have on both sides of the ball. The defense speaks for itself. Lots of nasty guys at defensive line and linebacker. And yes, Andy, Mendenhall is ridiculous. We need a back with size and strength like that to complement Benny and Woody. Thoughts, love the show. All right, look, Adam.
He's picking up speed.
Yeah. Adam.
Right. Love the show.
The only part I agree with you is that the Patriots need a better running back. But all this attitude crap,
Jarvis
where was
hey.
Pittsburgh's attitude when the Patriots played them? It has nothing
and
to do with that.
On the side
it's just nonsense. It's just nonsense about, you know, oh, the Patriots need the same attitude that the Steelers have. The Patriots have it. They don't have it every game. Neither do the Steelers. But they have guys that are just as tough as the Steelers guys. Just because their shirts are black doesn't mean that they're tougher.
I don't think they have a guy as tough as James Harrison.
Maybe not, but when James Harrison played the Patriots,
he's the Paul
he wasn't
of that
very
team.
Tough.
He would kill anybody for just looking at him the wrong
yeah.
way.
I mean, if you're getting blocked out every play, doesn't matter how tough you are.
But the you issue know? Is talent. Talent.
Different story.
But the
he'd
bigger question
the
I
juice.
Have.
I wouldn't take him on unless he gets off the juice.
How many, like, I feel like this is, maybe this just happens every year, but, like, when are they going to realize X? Like, in 2006, they had to realize something. And
right.
In 2008, they had to realize something.
For a team
something.
That doesn't realize a lot of things, they win an awful
right.
lot of games.
Well,
that's
and,
all I'll
and
say.
The other thing I was thinking about over the weekend is I hope all the people who criticize the Patriots for not being built for the playoffs and not doing this, that, and the other thing say the same thing about the Jets. They're not built to go past where they've gone and win it all. Because there's something wrong there, too, then.
They've won in the postseason you know? Two straight years and gone to the AFC title game. So
exactly.
You could argue
they're 4-2 in the last 2 years. You're
they're built
and
for
two.
The playoffs, not the Super Bowl, if
right.
you want to argue
right.
it
the,
down to.
If you're just going to go to the last. But that's the point, though, is like neither team did what they were supposed to do and go
well,
all the way.
But that's not fair. You know, now you're taking it to an extreme. That's not fair.
No, but you can also...
Because Andy's point is right. You could make the argument the Patriots are built for regular season success.
Right.
And the Jets are built for postseason
success. I'd have
success.
To see, and that could be a problem going forward. I have to see a little bit more evidence of that. It is something that
I said. The Baltimore Ravens are another team I'd say falls into that category. They're a tougher team in the postseason than the regular season.
I said after the game, you know, the Patriots have to worry about becoming the next Indianapolis Colts, where you're dependent on a quarterback, you win a lot of regular season games, and you don't win in the playoffs.
And a defense that is.
Right. But until the Jets win it all, they're in the same camp.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They've gone further than you the last 2 years.
Each of the last 2 years in the postseason.
Yeah.
That's a little different.
But they haven't done what they haven't
so they didn't win the Super
their
Bowl.
Goal.
That there's, right, the there's goal, a mean, middle ground there.
The means to the end is different.
Right.
So the Patriots are same as the Bills because the Bills didn't win a playoff game this year and the Patriots didn't. There's differences, Fred. Just like there's a difference between the Patriots and the Jets.
I think it's unfair. The top seed counts for something. I think that's
you had a great regular season.
But I think that's something the Bills did not do.
You had a great regular season. Yeah. No, but you're lumping the Jets and the Patriots in. I can lump other teams in with the Patriots if you want to play the lump
just
game.
Just so you know, well, you can have all the number one seeds if you want, if you're going to tell me that I'm going further than you in the playoffs.
If the Patriots have something lacking that's keeping them from being the ultimate, so do the Jets then.
No, they don't. They've won multiple playoff games the last two postseasons. You're missing that.
So you're happy with that. That's fine.
If I'm a Jets fan, I'm ecstatic.
Well, I'm happy with the Patriots, but I'm not supposed to be because for some reason... You know, the Patriots are this woeful team that's not living up to expectations.
You know, I don't think that's true.
We have to throw everything out the window.
But it's not the same.
That's an extreme the other way. I don't agree with that either.
You know, I just don't. I think
there's nothing disappointing.
I'm living
up to expectations.
You know, that's why, like, I didn't take this as hard as I think a lot of other Patriots fans did.
You didn't speak for 2 days.
I'm very.
We had to call you. You were
there's a certain period of mourning that you have to go through. But after I got
over
that,
by the first show.
After I got
over
that,
I saw him. He had sneakers on with no shoelaces. I was like, what's going
after
on?
After I got over that, I realized that there's reason to be optimistic about this team. The window is not closing. It has opened up again.
I would agree with that. I think that the foundation is very solid. That's why I don't agree with the second part of your statement. Well, they just failed to live up to an expectation. No,
but
they exceeded
people
expectations.
Said. That's what you agree with me, but you know
No, I agree with you on the Patriots, not on the Jets.
But I
agree with you about the Patriots. The future is very bright. The window is back open.
I think it's going to be Jets-Patriots for a number of years.
Well, it depends what the Jets do. The Jets have some personnel issues they're going to have to work. They have some important guys and some not-so-important guys.
But they'll keep some and they'll bring in others.
But more than the Patriots.
They've got a good core, just like the Patriots have a good core, and I think it's going to be neck and neck for a number of years. This is going to intensify.
It's going to be all about the same thing that was all about last offseason. If Sanchez can be more consistent, they won't have to be 11-5 and have to play in the wild card round.
Neither team's going anywhere. They're going to be at each other's throats for the foreseeable future. I'm accepting that. But, I mean, you hear the emails we get, some of these
I think it's a legitimate question to ask if they're built for regular season success as opposed to postseason.
And that's fine, but, you know, all this stuff about they need to
we
be
made fun
they
of the
need
Colts.
To be like the Steelers. Well, maybe the Steelers need to be a little bit more like the Patriots, and maybe they, you know.
Not lately.
Well, no, exactly.
Maybe, they've been collecting three rings since you collected yours.
But, you know, my point is that fans of one team always, you know, that come up short, always tend to look at the other, we need that.
All I can tell you is what's happened to the Patriots for the most part since 06 is what happened to the Colts from 02 through 06. And we made fun of the Colts. They'll never win. They're too finesse. They're mamby-pamby. They're not tough enough. They're not built for the
mamby-pamby. right.
Yeah, that was intentional. But, I mean, how many times do we say it? And I agree with it, by the way. I didn't think the Colts would ever be able to come into Foxborough
and win.
With that soft defense that they had. Well, they improved. They got rid of guys like Jason David and David Thornton and Tim Jennings and some of these other stiff guys. They kept a couple of guys to build around, like Mathis and Freeney, and they got better. They got better players on defense. Are they an elite defense? No. But they're better than they were. And with their offense, they're good enough to win in the playoffs now. Now, this year, I mean, they had a lot of other things happen to them this year. I think that caused them to fall short. But that's been a team that, since they won their Super Bowl, that's been a team good enough to win a Super Bowl every year since. They only won one, but unlike in 2003 and 2004, I think those teams overachieved, to be honest with you. They were all offense.
Strippers wants to know about Brady. Why can't he run? Was it a stress fracture? Can he gain 5 yards? He doesn't run six flat. I don't know.
I'm 6 seconds in the 40.
40, I guess.
I'm not sure he could run a six.
I mean, he's
40 right now.
Ridiculously slow.
You should see him at practice. Oh, he lumbers in summer.
He lumbers. There's no doubt about it. You know, he's not a good runner.
No.
I mean, he was very slow. He was probably a 5-0 guy to begin with.
Or worse.
You know, and you add a torn ACL and all that other stuff to it.
The brace, the foot injury.
Right. I didn't even think about the foot injury.
Alex writes in, sucks that we got bounced out so early, but all things considered, there's a lot to look forward to next season. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at some of the upcoming draft prospects, but I had a question about two of the best guard center prospects, Mike Pouncey and Stefan Wisniewski. If you wanted to pick one, who would you choose? Also, don't know if it's true, but I heard on PatsFans.com that Cromartie got into a fight with Bart Scott after the AFC Championship loss. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I wouldn't doubt it, Cromartie and Bart Scott getting into a fight.
Where did he hear that?
PatsFans.com.
Oh.
It's a very reliable source.
Especially for Jets information.
I don't know. Pouncey, Wisniewski.
Pouncey is obviously Pouncey's twin brother.
Right.
Wisniewski, I've seen
son.
Play a little bit.
Is he the son of Steve Wisniewski?
He's from the family.
Yeah.
He has Pedro written all over him. 4-year starter. Got a little position flexibility. Other stuff.
How good are
intangibles?
They? Intangibles? In terms of round.
Those are both high round picks, first and second.
No interest.
Those are both early picks, I believe. You know,
let me look him up.
I don't know for sure.
Let me look him up.
I don't want a center in the first round.
They were thinking about one last year, according to...
I know they were.
Sources. And that center was... Now, I don't believe the Pouncey is thought of as highly as his brother. I think he's a low... Pouncey, Marquise, was thought of as every year or two... I mean, he was an early entry.
He's an early entry center. Yeah,
which
there's an elite center. This is a once-in-a-five-year draft
and he's the guy.
Period.
And he... I guess proved it by he's a Pro Bowl rookie.
It's like
center.
Remember Steve Hutchinson for a guard,
yeah,
right? Once in a generation type guard, and he lived up to it.
Our friends at Draft Scout have Wisniewski slated as a second rounder and Pouncey as a first to second rounder.
Yeah.
So
so they're
pretty
in that
high
ballpark.
Yeah.
But Wisniewski to me looks like a Patriot. Just watching a couple games of him, he looks like a Patriot.
Sean says, Fred, bottom line is we will never see a Super Bowl victory until we acquire a pass rush.
Okay. I would agree. You know, you might win, but it's a lot harder. Because their pass rush is terrible. I don't care about the numbers. You look at numbers and you go, oh, they had more sacks than I thought. Or they had this. But they have no pass rush.
Their numbers are bad, and the numbers still don't tell how bad it was.
Right, right.
That's the thing.
They need a guy. That's the difference, too. You can mask it as intensity or whatever the guy wanted them to be like the Steelers. How about just have a pass rush like the Steelers?
Like
a guy who can get to the quarterback.
They never put the offense into a situation where you say, I can't get everybody out in a route on this play because they're coming. And I gotta max protect.
Never stop Jermaine Cunningham. I mean, you need an impact player at that position.
Well, the Patriots have never really had that type of player. But they've had good defenses.
They've had good pass rushes in the past. Maybe not an individual.
No, right.
Like
I
Jets,
downgrade.
The Jets don't have an individual
Willie
pass
McGinnis
rusher.
As much as anyone, but you're not giving him much credit right now.
Oh, I wouldn't say he's like Julius Peppers or Patrick Willis or any of those
guys.
That's what
I said.
Patrick Willis. Yeah. It's a whole different animal.
But
he's
I'm just
an
saying that type
linebacker.
Of guy where the other team has to game plan around.
You're not game planning for Patrick Willis's ability to rush the passer.
But your game, he's a difference maker on defense.
But let's not pretend. I mean,
I think as a
Willie
unit,
McGinnis was a difference maker.
Really?
Mike Vrabel was a difference maker. Rodney Harrison was a difference maker. Teddy Bruschi was a difference maker. Richard Seymour was a difference maker. All of those guys were that kind of a player. Patrick Willis type player.
Well,
not the same position per se,
but we're talking
that's the kind of guy the other
rushing
team.
Rushing the passer.
Well, then Patrick Willis isn't that guy. Julius Peppers?
Right.
Sure.
You know,
maybe the best in football.
That.
Well, we're talking about the.
It's like
the email is sent.
The
until
Jets
they get
don't
a
have
pass
a guy.
Rush.
Julius Peppers is one of the greatest athletes that's ever played this game.
My point is, you can have a pass rush without having. You don't have to have that guy
like
Michael
Strahan. You have
like
to have very good.
You have to have the ability to get after the passer like the Jets.
You don't necessarily. I agree.
Roosevelt Colvin, Mike Vrabel, and Willie McGinnis were all Pro Bowl level
but
players.
But anyone on their own would not be a guy on a team that, you know. Would be a force like a Julius Peppers.
Maybe the Jets right now don't have that.
But they don't have anyone near that, Fred. They have Rob Ninkovic.
No, I agree.
A backup long
Look,
snapper
I am
playing
not
starting outside linebacker.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I am saying the Patriots need
Moore.
The Patriots need to acquire a pass rush. Period.
Impact players. Julius Peppers is more than impact. Whatever the next word is, Paul just listed impact players. None of them may be as talented as Julius Peppers, but they're impact, right?
I think the Patriots have
is Tamba
some,
Ali
listen to me.
Julius Peppers? No, but he's an impact player.
The Patriots
and a free agent,
he's
by
available,
the way.
By the way.
The Patriots are starting to get impact players on defense. They don't have one in the pass rush yet.
No.
And they need to develop that. They need to develop, and again, it doesn't have to be one player. I think once you get a certain amount of players, they'll feed off each other.
That's a perfect example. Gerard Mayo is an impact player at middle linebacker for them. Doesn't make as many plays as we'd like, but he makes 190 tackles, makes a couple plays. He's a very good player. They need someone of that caliber or
a complimentary player.
Because Gerard Mayo is not Julius Peppers.
Right. No, I agree with that.
They need somebody as good as.
But they need like four other guys like him.
I think you need to start with one. I think you need one guy, an outside linebacker, who is starting caliber. I don't. Oh, that should get us to our question later. Mm. But I don't believe they have a starting caliber outside linebacker that plays.
I agree with that.
Which is a problem when you have two spots to start and you don't have one.
I agree, yeah.
Remember the days of they got 3 for 2 and 6 for 4? Well, they had 0 for 2.
And they had, I mean, it's like, you talk about the Jets, and they had a down year for their pass rush. They didn't have a lot of sacks this year. But they don't have, even when they're rolling, like they had 5 sacks against the Patriots. They don't have a guy that you have to target.
No,
they don't
not,
have,
not,
you
not
don't
one
look
guy,
there
no.
and say, Calvin Pace, we got to make sure he doesn't
That's a
disrupt
good point.
The game.
That's my point.
But they have a defense.
That's a good
but
point.
We
That's
don't
my
have,
point.
But we don't have anybody as good as Calvin Pace.
No, but we need to build. Right now, we're in the process of rebuilding that defense. And I think we're on the right track.
But we've been saying for the past, now 3 years, they need an outside linebacker who can rush the
passer.
They
need that guy. They have yet to find him.
They have yet to find him.
Yeah, they have yet to find him.
Are you giving up on Jermaine Cunningham?
Am I giving up on him?
Of being that guy, of being Mike Vrabel or Willie McGinnis. I'm not saying Julius Peppers.
I think it's too early.
Of being a guy.
It's kind of too early. I mean,
he needs to go through his second year
job. Mike Vrabel, remember where he came from. You know, he was that defensive end on Pittsburgh or outside linebacker.
Mike Vrabel was a 5-sack guy. He was not a 12.5 sack guy.
Right.
So it's not.
And, you know, he was a great system linebacker for this team. Smart, understood it, could do a lot of different things, and thrived.
Inside or out.
And made an impact.
And thrived.
Not going to label him a system outside linebacker. The guy was an impact player.
Yeah, but coming out of college, I don't think people saw him as a first-round pick.
No, because he was a tweener. They didn't know what position he was going to play.
He had to develop.
And this was a tweener when tweeners weren't in vogue like they are today.
I bet you today he would be a first-round pick.
Yeah, hardly any team. You know, it was Pittsburgh and the Patriots were the only teams playing a 3-4. And I don't even know if at the time when he came out of college, were the Patriots playing 3-4? I'm not even sure.
He had been in Pittsburgh for 3 years, so 98-ish. Yeah, I mean,
under
they had
Pete
the
Carroll?
Hybrid. They had the elephant.
They had the elephant McGinnis. With McGinnis. McGinnis didn't even know what that meant.
I like when he does. It's just unbelievable.
But they need an impact player there. It doesn't have to be Peppers. They need an impact guy. A guy who's worthy of starting.
Sure.
And there are options available. We got Quinny.
Sure.
Quinny, who's tied for 5th in the Mike Mayock.
With everybody else. I think you actually got a mention. Maybe you're tied for 6th.
What about the guy from A&M? Is it Von Miller?
Von Miller,
he's getting a lot of hybrid talk.
And he measured well because there were some questions about whether he'd be too short. You know, everybody wants the 6'3", 6'4". 6'3 has crept in, by the way. It's now okay to be 6'3". 6'2 now seems to be
Cunningham is
blackball worthy. But I'm not just talking here. 6'3 is now really widely considered big enough to set the edge and do everything needed outside linebacker. Considered the best pure pass rusher in the draft. There's some questions about the rest of his game, setting the edge, playing the run.
Got to set
he's
the
intriguing.
Edge.
I need to see some tape of him. But
see
he's
if he can open
intriguing.
His hips.
Flip his hips. I'm going to flip the hips.
Yeah, 6'2". They list him, Von Miller, 6'2", 243, 4'5", 40.
6'2 now. He's shrinking.
I think he was 6'2 and change at 6'2", 6 maybe.
6'2", 240 what?
243, runs a 4'5", 6.
Might be too small.
A little light.
There are a couple of others, though.
We'll keep saying they're too small. Lamar Woodley was too small.
Alden's,
they're all too small. Are we going to get up a second time through when they prove they can play in the league?
You don't have to get mad at me.
Alden's, no, I do have to get mad at somebody.
They're not my standards.
Alden Smith.
You're disrespecting my space, Paul.
They're William Belichick's standards, not mine.
Well, his standards have Rob Ninkovic starting. Maybe the standards need to change.
Wow. First he was yelling at
Kevin
me,
is,
now he's yelling at Bill.
Steve from New Hampshire still on the line? Hey, no. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, you guys, how you doing?
Good.
It's been a while. I didn't call in at the beginning of the year. I just, I let this year go, and I never stopped listening to you guys. I got to tell you.
Never stopped drinking either, huh?
This, nah. This year was just an unbelievable year all the way around, and that includes you guys. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Had my one day of Monday of denial, and then Tuesday I was miserable, and now I'm over it. And but listening to you guys earlier when you were talking about the fan banter, and I just wanted to tell you a story. When I was out in San Diego, and when we just done the Chargers logo, after that game, Sue and I were walking up in the concourse, and all of a sudden she had to go to the bathroom. I go, all right. So she goes in the bathroom. She comes out of the bathroom. We're walking down the concourse, and I see this guy about 25 feet away, and he is steaming, totally steaming. And we're just walking towards each other. This guy threw me a shoulder check that was – I never even saw it coming. I mean,
did you have a Patriots shirt on?
Oh, yeah.
You should have known.
I was dressed in a nine.
You should have known.
You guys are idiots.
I landed on my ass. I turned up, and I go, you know –
Okay.
Oh, we missed the punchline.
We lost you.
The cool thing was...
No, we lost you. We lost the punchline.
Start over. Your phone, what'd you say to him when you were on your ass?
Yeah, your phone dropped out there.
As I was getting up, I said, you know, if you guys actually hit that hard during the game, you might have won.
There you go. Good.
And I actually had Chargers fans that saw him kind of sucker check me. And they were
embarrassed for him,
a bunch of them applauded. Said that to him, you know. Yeah. But I've been down in the Meadowlands, I've been out in Chicago, I've been out in Detroit, and I've always worn my colors. I will never not do it. And I love the banter. And you know, you've got to be smart enough to walk away from the idiots, but I will definitely get in somebody's face if they want to challenge you too. You know?
See?
If they want to challenge you, he said.
He hit him. The guy hit him. That's crossed the line, clearly.
No, but he said if someone wanted to challenge him, he'd get in his face. Just like Andy, I did.
If someone hits you,
I wasn't looking for trouble.
You didn't have a chip on your shoulder like Paul.
You weren't looking for a fight like Paul was that night in New Orleans.
Thanks, Steve, for the call.
I knew this was what it was all about. He thinks that it was my fault. You and
Sue, minding your own business. Sue just had to go potty.
You think it was my fault that that guy came up to me. That's what this is all about.
No, I think you
think I walked out there looking to argue with somebody because that's what I do.
A little bit.
And when we lose, I have humble pie. I walked out and was going back to the hotel.
As opposed to the Eagles fans.
Till the guy got within 37 feet and then he disrespected
my
space.
After the Patriots beat him in the Super Bowl. Remember that? Eagles fans were just cold cocking Patriots fans.
If he touched my shoulder and he said like this, I'll give you $5 for the whole thing.
How's he touch it?
Just like I just did to Eric.
That's what he did. That may have crossed the line.
He came right over into my space.
Now, I don't believe he deserved to die. Like you said, I would have been pounding him till he stopped breathing.
To me, that's stupid.
I'm not taking that back. That's a truism.
I'm going to go to jail because a guy touched me on the shoulder.
If my brother didn't grab me by the back of the neck, I'd still be on top of him punching him.
You're an idiot. You know, again, if you know the person or you've been woofing at him during the game or that person.
That's different.
That's different. But
I've done that.
Complete strangers.
Yeah. Unsolicited.
I've gotten into that.
It's not a complete stranger. It's a Packers fan at the Super Bowl.
It's not a complete stranger.
I wish it wasn't a complete stranger
because I'd get on the next flight to Green Bay and find that SOB if I knew his name.
Omar says, I hate the Jets. I'm so glad the Steelers took them out. Happy that Rex
still
Ryan.
See his face.
Fred, he's psychotic. He has mental issues. Clearly.
Omar, hate the Jets. So glad the Steelers took them out. Happy that Rex Ryan's heart was broken, too. So my question to you is, do you want to draft Nick Fairley out of Auburn as a pass rusher? If not, why are we talking draft?
Nah, he's a defensive tackle.
And we don't have a top 10
pick. He might be the first pick in the
draft.
After
the Super Bowl, we'll start talking draft. P.S., why is ESPN anti-New England Patriots? Are they based in New York? Well, they are. They're at Bristol,
Connecticut.
No,
actually,
they're in Connecticut.
It's
like New York. Connecticut is both New England. It's both New England and the tri-state area.
They like to consider themselves.
All depends on what part.
Depends on what part of Connecticut you're from.
Yeah, I know.
Bristol's not even close.
It just says you are. They are.
Used to have to drive there. It was awful.
The problem with all these leagues is all their offices are in New York, and all the people there are these.
So there's a problem with the NFL?
There's a problem with the league offices of all
NFL.
These sports. Yes.
Okay.
Should put them in Des Moines.
They should.
There's no rooting interest.
I just wanted to get it on record.
No, flights
Fred has a problem with the NFL.
Either. I do. I don't like having – I know that's where the media is and all that stuff, but
who would want to work for the league?
All these league offices are just, you know, too crowded with New York fans. It's ridiculous.
You're right. It's ridiculous.
What does that have to do with ESPN?
Same thing.
Because Bristol is littered. they hire people on air who are from all over the country.
Yeah, well.
And off of air. And off air, yeah.
ESPN's a different story than the league offices.
I thought you just
ESPN,
said it was the same thing.
The question was about ESPN, by the way.
ESPN.
You said, yes, they're in New York.
A lot of players.
So we said, no, they're not.
Don't like the Patriots either because they lost to them in their playing days, or they couldn't see themselves playing for a guy like Belichick because, you know.
So when you're saying those guys, like, why don't you name names? Like Andy always makes me do. One of my rants.
Marshall Faulk.
He's not doesn't work ESPN. For ESPN.
All right, that's a good point.
I'll give you one. Merrill Hodge,
by the way.
Merrill Hodge, right?
Never played for the Steelers when they lost to the Patriots.
Mark Schlereth.
Again,
Bronco.
No
but
experience
he
against
not,
the Patriots.
He would not see himself playing for a team like
Why?
This. Because he just doesn't like the
he
way
won
that
too many, he won too many rings in his other stops.
He just doesn't like the way that, you know, Belichick probably comports himself.
Don't steal,
you know?
Don't steal my lines. That's
you're
beneath,
not smart enough.
That's beneath you.
You know, Tom Jackson.
Yeah, another guy with a lot of experience going against the Patriots.
Belichick was at
retired
Wesley.
30 years ago.
And every time he played them, they won.
He actually played for Belichick.
Okay. They just don't like the way the Patriots are, and, you know.
And isn't that okay?
No, it isn't, because you're supposed to be a professional. It's okay to think it, but
just
not
coming from you. and it goes like this.
Look, it's, you know,
you'd be okay if they hated the Jets.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't mind it because no, obviously because it doesn't
I thought they were supposed to be a professional.
Doesn't offend me, but I Jets fans would have a right to be upset about it.
They're not professionals. They're human beings. They have likes and dislikes. They have biases. Just get over it. It's entertainment.
What's Mike Dick
we're back to it's entertainment.
What's Mike Dick's beef with the Patriots?
It's the first word in that
I don't
acronym.
Know if he has one.
Yes.
Does he?
Oh, he absolutely does.
He has one? Why?
Who?
I think he's anti-Patriot.
Who are you talking about?
Ditka?
Yeah. Don't you guys?
I think everybody's anti-Patriot.
Well, but I'm just trying to figure out where is the origin. Like, Marshall Faulk.
I think
his,
the organization.
His first one, even though he's NFL Network, I know where the origin is there.
I think the organization.
He lost the Super Bowl that he thinks he should have won.
Does not work well with the media. Does not play nice. Does not bow down and make life easy on
But that
anybody
doesn't really
there.
Affect those players.
I'm not sure who it affects
the
and
players,
how. If their director has an attitude or their producer, I think those things trickle down and reputations are bred.
Like Merrill Hodge is a Steeler guy, obviously.
Right.
And he probably feels like the Steelers were wronged out of more chances to go
right.
to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So that's probably his origin. But Mike
Even
Ditka,
though they've been more than any other franchise.
I wonder what Mike... No, but I'm thinking he's...
No,
I'm guessing he probably thinks 0-1 and 0-4 weren't
right.
on the up and up.
I just don't remember Ditka coming out again. When was Ditka against the Patriots?
I think he's... I'm stunned for you because you find disrespect everywhere, and
I don't think he's totally
anti-Patriot. He doesn't strike me as one of them. I
don't
remember
you
think
him. He does.
They
I
could
do.
See him as just disliking the Patriot way.
Yeah,
because he's the other way. He's an emotional ex-player, loudmouth, talk, fun,
bad coach.
Gray's teams in NFL history was his. He finished the job.
Yeah, and what's his name?
Wow.
What does that mean?
19-0.
What? What?
He finished his great season. He won the Super Bowl at the cost of this team.
That
was his team.
Patriots never won a Super Bowl?
His great season, that's considered one of the greatest teams of all time, right?
Yeah.
18-1.
They finished their job.
A little bit different than another
against your Patriots. Well, sorry, not your Patriots. So, at the time, you were on the Broncos or the the Bears, for all I know.
So you think Mike Ditka was a good head coach?
No.
All right, then be quiet.
His record says he was good enough.
All right, do you think Mike Ditka was a head coach?
I think he was a good head
coach. I can prove that he was a head coach.
I think he was a head coach for
I have
two
the visual.
Teams.
Do you think he was a great head coach?
Great? No.
No.
Good? Okay, yeah.
I have evidence.
Good enough. Good enough.
A good caretaker.
I don't know. If I gave him Tom Brady, he might be a great head coach.
He had good coordinators in Chicago in that year. He had great players.
He's the guy from Dallas that won after Jimmy Johnson.
Oh,
left.
No, he's not.
No, he's
not.
No,
that's ridiculous.
No.
Mike Ditka,
Barry Switzer was a clown.
So was Mike Ditka.
I agree with you that Mike Ditka wasn't a great coach, but to put him in Barry Switzer
couldn't he's category, right there with him.
That's an embarrassment.
He's right
so you
there
think
with
he
him.
Was just
the only thing he didn't do was carry a gun in an airport.
I was with you up until your Switzer comparison. Now I'm looking down at you.
Mike Ditka's a clown. Great football player.
Now he's a clown.
Great
character on TV.
He was not a good head coach.
And a good head coach.
No, he wasn't a good head coach.
Yes,
he was not.
You don't
a good
win
head
by
coach.
Accident. You do not win by accident.
It's proven that you do.
No, you don't.
Switzer did.
Switzer came in with a team that had just won the Super Bowl and took it
that
over.
That was Ditka's team.
Ditka took over
that
a team that
was Buddy Ryan's defense.
Ditka took over a team that stunk.
That's why they won.
Oh, so he wasn't the architect
of
the defense.
Wait a minute.
He wasn't.
So
wait
he's
a minute.
Not great. He never did anything
he
great.
He's not great.
So wait a minute. Okay, so Buddy Ryan's great?
Yes.
Well, how come he couldn't win as a head coach? No further questions.
He was a great defensive coordinator.
He was a terrible coach.
He was a great defensive coordinator.
So?
And that's why the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl.
He was a terrible head coach.
It doesn't matter. He wasn't the head
coach. So maybe he wasn't as good as you thought. Maybe he wasn't worthy of all the praise that you thought.
Was Buddy Ryan a great defensive coordinator?
I think so, yeah.
So do I.
I think he was a great
defensive
coordinator.
That's where it stops.
But he wasn't a great head coach.
Right. He was not.
But without Mike Ditka as his head coach, he couldn't win.
Oh, please.
What happened when he was a defensive coordinator at other places?
If Buddy Ryan was the head coach of that Chicago Bears team, he would have won.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think he would have.
I don't know.
Not so sure.
Well, I'm telling you.
I don't think he would have. I think there's a lot of – what you see right now with Rex Ryan from his father. I don't think they have enough attention to detail to do the whole thing.
What happened with the Saints with Ditka?
Oh, he crapped out.
He was not a good coach with the Saints.
Thank you. He wasn't a good coach, period.
Whoa, wait a minute.
How did the Bears get good?
He might not have, he was terrible because he traded his draft for Ricky Williams. Mm. He had way too much power. Anyone who thought he should have all the power was asleep at the wheel.
I'm not sitting here telling you, Mike, because he's a good coach.
Why shouldn't he have that? Why shouldn't he have that much power?
It's got nothing to do with him being a coach.
Why shouldn't he have that much power?
I don't know the answer.
Because he's an idiot!
You're an idiot. If you don't have respect for Mike Ditka
as a player,
and a coach.
No. Not as a coach. I'm sorry. No.
Is this really because what the show was turned into?
So you know what? The 2007 season where this team won 16-0 in the regular season, Bill Belichick gets zero credit for that because he was not the architect of that offense. So zero credit. Take that away. I'll give him 0-1, 0-3, and 0-4 because he was the architect of a defense-led team.
Okay.
But he wasn't the architect of that offense.
If you don't want to give Bill Belichick credit because I don't want to give Ditka credit, that's fine with you.
I find it ridiculous that because the guy didn't start with from scratch and devise a scheme, he's not a great head coach.
I don't think he was a great head coach. I'm sorry.
I don't think he was a great head coach either, but I don't think he was Barry Switzer.
No.
Yeah.
Bruce Coslett was a better coach than Barry Switzer.
That is so disrespectful to Mike Ditka.
I'm sorry, I disrespect. This is a guy who wants to walk down the street and disrespect strangers.
No, this is,
you know, to disrespect Mike Ditka, oh my God.
But if anyone disrespects Bill Belichick, you get your panties in a bunch, as they say on EEI. Right?
Well, I didn't know you had the, you know.
I have respect for the game. When people make fun of Al Davis, it's funny now. The man was a legend in this game. He's not a clown. He's a clown now. His overall body of work.
And when Ditka was
legend.
A player, he wasn't
he accomplished
a clown.
More than
he became a clown when he was a head coach.
Not for the
Bears,
he wasn't.
He put a big ring on his finger when he became the head coach.
And
I believe, didn't he go to another title game the year after or before?
Yeah, they went 15-1.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
15-1 and 14-2, I believe.
That's pretty impressive.
Consecutive years.
Yeah, he's in some of those records when won 14-plus win seasons. Bill Belichick. Yeah, he's got four. Okay. Mike Ditka's in the conversation. He must have just been asleep at the wheel when he did that.
Four guys with more than one, more than one 14 or more wins?
I think so.
I think with that defense, a lot of guys could have done that.
How did they get that defense, Fred?
You don't think with
Tom Brady?
He didn't inherit it.
So with Tom Brady, a lot of guys wouldn't win?
Of course they would.
Oh, thank you. So we can't give Bill Belichick credit. He's had Tom Brady the whole time.
Okay, don't.
A lot of guys.
If you want to do that.
A lot of guys could have won that.
He didn't win in Cleveland.
If you want to ignore the facts,
they
go
both,
ahead.
Okay, okay. They both well, have let's their get... Super Bowl team and their failure team. They just came in different
should
orders.
Should we do the facts again? The Ron Borges facts that happen to be true? 7 seasons he's been a head coach in this league without Tom Brady as his quarterback, and he's been to 1 playoff game.
He got
one
better.
1 playoff year.
He definitely
one
got
and
better.
1-1.
Oh, and Ditka couldn't have gotten worse?
He did get worse.
Thank you. He was a very good coach with the Bears.
Did he get better?
He got called out. He got exposed.
Has he gotten better
happened.
Since 2008?
Oh, when he didn't have quite as much talent.
He got exposed.
Has Bill Belichick gotten better since 2008?
I think yes.
Okay.
I think he was just coach of the year. I didn't vote him. I didn't vote for
when did that come down?
I don't know, but we should put it on the blog. That's true. Did he get coach of the year?
Not AP. He got the Sporting News coach of the year last week.
Oh.
They voted him coach
oh,
of the year.
The PFWA.
No, the AP is what we're
I didn't vote for that.
That's not the real coach of the year.
But whatever. Somebody okay. else.
I thought you had
somebody
news.
Else
never mind.
Outside of New England thinks he was pretty good
so
this year.
So Ditka never won coach of the year?
I don't know. Did he?
Probably.
I don't know. Did he?
It was a farce if he didn't win
no,
it that
but,
year.
But your point is that he's not that good because he has Tom Brady. Anybody could win with Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's my point.
Well, that's what you're saying about Ditka. Anybody could win with that defense.
Okay, so any coach that has good players is a bad coach.
No,
is that
no,
your point?
No, that's it's the opposite.
No,
it's just the opposite.
Credit.
I think Bill Belichick's a great coach.
I'm specifically saying.
You pick and choose the guys you think are actually good coaches and the guys that have good players.
Well,
and you decide which ones you think are good coaches.
Yeah, I do think that.
Bill Walsh must be a stiff. Anybody could win with Joe Montana.
I do specifically think that Mike Ditka was not a good head coach.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you pick and choose the guys who are doing it with talent and do it with.
I don't paint with a broad brush.
So Jimmy Johnson, good coach or no?
Good coach.
Anybody can win with Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith.
A lot of Hall of Famers.
Michael Irvin.
He also won with Miami. He didn't win the Super Bowl, but he won
games. Nothing with Miami.
You know?
Absolutely nothing
he didn't
with Miami.
Jimmy Johnson was a good coach, also a good personnel guy, one of the best.
But he won absolutely nothing when he didn't have those three Hall of Famers leading his offense.
Yeah, but
so he must be a stiff. I personally think he's a very good coach.
So and I'll
say Mike Ditka is the same as Barry Switzer.
I'll reverse it on you. Do you think that any guy that wins a lot of football games is a good head coach?
Define a lot.
Well, gets to the playoffs.
Like how often?
No.
I don't know. Just you know,
like every year.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Well, Marty Schottenheimer, very good football.
Herm Edwards was not, and he had multiple playoff teams.
I agree.
Right. So
not
you can't paint with a broad brush.
Herm
you
Edwards
have to
didn't
pick
sniff,
and choose.
But Herm
sniff
Edwards didn't sniff Mike Ditka's accomplishments.
He didn't go 15-1.
You have to pick and choose.
Right.
Right. But
and I'm choosing to say that Mike Ditka was not a good head coach.
And the reason that you're choosing to say he's not good is because anybody could have won with that talent. That's your reasoning.
Anyone with any modicum of competency could have won.
But yet you don't hold it against other guys who do win with the same level of talent. For some reason, you decide this guy was a good coach, this guy not a good coach.
I've seen Belichick win without that talent.
When?
You think that in 08?
When did he win without Tom Brady?
5 or this year?
When did he win anything without Tom Brady?
Was there any team that had the talent of the Bears in 85, one of the best teams of all time?
Any team? No, I think they were a great team.
But the Patriots.
But unlike you, I'm giving Mike Ditka some credit for that. You take it all away from him.
I'm sorry.
And give it to Buddy Ryan.
I'm sorry.
He of the zero wins.
I'm sorry.
As a head coach.
I didn't say that Buddy Ryan was a good head coach.
You said he was the responsible for
he
that.
He never won a single game as a head coach.
Playoff wins.
I thought Cunningham was pretty good.
Playoff wins.
Playoffs.
Playoff wins. You know what I meant. Don't get in my personal space over there. Yeah, he went 0-16 8 years in a row.
I'm like, Rich Kotite's getting a bum rap if Buddy Ryan never won a single game in multiple
I stops. Don't think Mike Ditka is a great coach. I agree with you. But to say that he's Barry Switzer is hyperbole to the ridiculous extent.
It's an Andy Hart argument.
It is.
Thank you.
I agree with
I
you.
I know it. I
Mike Ditka
it.
Is not a great coach. I agree with you. You think he's a stiff. I don't agree with
I
that.
I think he was a stiff
Barry
as a
Switzer
head coach.
Barry Switzer was one of the worst head coaches in NFL history.
I think he's a stiff as a head coach. Great player. Hall of Famer. Give him all the props there, but as a head coach, he was a moron.
Yeah, see, now he's a moron. Now we're taking cheap shots at the guy.
I'm sorry. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, give me a reason why
so
you
Rex
think
Ryan's
he's a moron.
Not a good coach.
Why don't you give me some coach? Analysis to back that up? What did he do that you think that he showed that he was a poor coach?
As soon as he left the Bears and tried to, you know, do it with the Saints, he just
as
messed
soon
up.
As?
Yeah.
As,
or 10 years later when he came out
later.
Of retirement. Gibbs must be a moron.
Yeah, Joe Gibbs, a terrible coach.
He was a perennial loser with the Saints.
How long was he there? 3 years? A year and 2.5?
He flamed out. He
was exposed. He traded 1.5 drafts for a single soft-hearted player.
But doesn't that prove how much of an
as
idiot
a coach,
he is?
No, it doesn't, actually.
No, it proves that he's a bad
it proves
GM.
Proves absolutely nothing.
What about Joe Gibbs?
I know GMs that are bad GMs that didn't do something like that.
What do you think about Joe Gibbs as a
he
head
should
coach?
Not have been a GM.
Great head coach.
Why?
Because of his track record.
But again, when he came out of retirement, he sucked with the Redskins.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
He wasn't good. Well, also, no one can win in that team. I think that there's problems.
But the Saints
upstairs.
Were perennial winners right. when he got there for Ditka.
You know, I think that there's problem with the Redskins that go beyond who the head coach is.
But that's what the Saints. Saints were always a laughable franchise until a few years ago.
And they became even more laughable when he was on it.
You're right, because he made the worst trade in NFL history. He should not have been the GM.
I can't believe I'm trying to defend Mike Ditka, who I don't really think is a very good coach. But to say that he's Barry
right.
Switzer is just so insane.
Well,
to say that he's, quote, a moron
yeah, he calls
is
him a moron.
The definition of insanity. I just don't get it. I don't know why there's no – suddenly today there's like no middle ground for anything. I don't he's not a great coach. He's not Bill Belichick, so that means he's Barry Switzer, who you can't get worse
He's not a good
than
coach.
That.
He was not a good head coach. I'm sorry.
Strippers must be really mad with all these shots at Barry Switzer.
I'm sorry.
Well, he was a good college coach.
We gotta bring up your.
I wanted to ask my question. Yeah, we gotta have time for this. Ian Rappaport on the radio this morning said he was told by somebody, he wasn't real clear who, that the Patriots believe they have 12 quality starters right now. I'd like to try to figure out who those are and
who the others aren't.
Well, who said that to
Write
Ian?
This down. You
when he said the Patriots believe. Who? What's his source?
I just
source?
Said. Does he not let us? Now it's the beginning of sentences he ignores.
But Mike Ditka is the moron.
I need a pen.
Tom Brady, I'm feeling pretty confident, they think is a pretty quality starter.
I'll give you that.
I'm guessing Logan Mankins would qualify as a quality starter, right?
Two?
I'm guessing
McCourty, Mayo.
Let's say on offense.
Will Fort. I'm trying to go on offense first.
I'm guessing one tight end.
And I was thinking one receiver. I don't know which one, but I'm thinking they think either Welker or Branch can
start.
Yeah,
I'm sure they think Welker would start.
Let's say four.
Vollmer, do they like him enough?
Okay, that's five.
I'm done.
All right, who do you
so
got?
Then we
Brady?
Got Wilfork, Mayo is seven.
Brady.
McCourty is eight.
Wilfork, Mayo.
And
McCourty.
If you wanted to stretch, maybe you could add an offensive lineman.
Now, the question I would have. I would
yeah,
also,
see, they might think highly of Copen.
But where, do they also count, like, Ty Warren and Lee Bodden? Would those count?
Did you count Welker in that first group?
Yeah, yes. We kind of counted wide receiver.
We counted one wide receiver.
Whether it's Welker or Branch, if they like. Yeah,
so we got eight, and I think that you're probably going to add in, like, a Gerard Warren, maybe a Copen to get to 10, and maybe Patrick Chung.
James Sanders.
To get to 11.
Jimmy.
Well, you know, Crumpler starts a lot, but do you consider him a starter?
No, I wouldn't consider three tight ends and all three of them. Are, no.
And then what about Branch?
Yeah, I don't think both of them. I mean, I don't think
they're both starting caliber wide receivers. I think either one of them is fine as a starter, but I think NFL teams would like to think they could do better than
12.
That.
That's interesting.
Spikes, no.
Not Guyton, not
no,
nothing.
No, side. None of the neither of the
I
outside
think
linebackers.
If you add Bodden and Warren, that would put us.
And that would you take Gerard Warren?
Do you
off.
Count Gaskowski? Yeah.
Which
no.
Warren?
No.
Ty Warren.
Ty Warren. Yeah, we got the 12.
And you counted G Warren? Big money?
No, you didn't.
No.
How many you got there? It looks like you got about.
I
six.
Only have eight. I missed when I went out to get the pen. I missed. I got Brady, Wilfork, Mayo,
Gronkowski.
Okay.
G Force.
Yep. Brady, Wilfork, Mayo, McCourty, Welker, Vollmer. Did I hear you say?
Yeah. Mankins.
Mankins. Yep. Bodden, Ty Warren, Gronk. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Chung. The starter.
Yeah.
Did you want Merriweather, your average safety?
No.
Now he's denigrating our guy. He's right. Like Bizarro Fred today.
Nobody's good enough.
No, but what
I say the window's open. He's like, nah. What are you talking about? They got to get. I don't know. I don't know.
Got 11.
And Copen, the other guy that we said.
Okay.
No, yeah. It's tough. It's a stretch to get
it's
to 12.
It's a stretch.
By the way, if anybody heard that interview today, I think this is a pretty good idea. Pretty good chance you can figure out who told him that they have 12 starters.
Who?
A certain college head coach?
I'm not saying it.
Peanut butter cups?
Yes. But
code words now.
Yeah, that was a little tough one to crack. Strippers has just tweeted it out.
Well, that's why I asked the question. Who exactly said it?
We don't know.
We don't know, but he mentioned
for the third
running
time,
into one person.
But he mentioned talking to somebody in the organization
who may
earlier
or may
in
not
the interview.
Make peanut butter cups.
Yeah, but you were quoted once as someone in the organization.
That's true.
You know, so I don't, you know.
But I haven't spoken with
he didn't.
Ian.
I've heard Andy quoted
the brain trust.
Stop.
Should be. You'd
he
have
said that stop. He bumped into somebody in the airport and was talking, and he said who it was.
Oh, he did.
And he was talking to them about stuff, and
you
he said
to put the pieces
he
together.
Hadn't really gotten a chance to talk to that guy all year because you don't get a chance to do these things, blah, 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 blah.
E.T. would love this source.
Okay.
20 minutes later, he's talking about this thing that he was talking to somebody in the Patriots organization, and they mentioned that they felt like they had 12 starters. Well, the only other guy that he mentioned he spoke to in the organization, he had talked about earlier in the interview. I don't want to say it because
cups.
I don't want to, if it's not the guy.
Have you figured it out yet?
Look, I know you're gonna laugh,
like,
but when he says we feel that we have 12 starters, does he mean like these
quality.
Guys?
Quality,
these
quality,
guys,
quality.
But does he mean that these guys would start on any team?
Quality.
You know,
I think this list, most of these guys could start for
starting
any.
But is that what he meant when
no,
he said?
But
that.
It's just like earlier.
Starting
I said,
caliber players.
They have no starting caliber outside linebackers. You have an image in your mind of what a starting.
But
caliber
to me,
player,
that's just more like, damning than it is praiseful.
It's like it's
of
like
course
when,
it is.
It's like when right. What's his name
the
said that they had no
they
start
have holes to fill.
They
right.
They had they couldn't punt at an NFL level for
right.
However many years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And it's just like when you. It's just like your draft grades. Well, that the best guy in the draft one year might not have been a fourth rounder in another year.
Right.
Well, I mean, you have a grade that
it
you have a level at.
They need 10 starting caliber players.
Further proof that
doesn't
Belichick
mean
is the greatest coach ever to live.
Oh, God. Doesn't
I don't know where you're getting anybody to fight you on that.
It doesn't mean, by the way, that there aren't other quality starters on the roster. Like, I don't think Jermaine Cunningham is in that mix, but that doesn't mean he couldn't be in that mix in
two or three years.
No, of course not. And it doesn't mean that these guys could start for anybody. It means they're starting NFL players.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know what their criteria is.
They feel comfortable starting these guys.
Maybe they feel Sebastian Vollmer. He might not be able to start at tackle for every single team in the league, but most of them he probably would.
And if he starts, you won't say, I'm weak at tackle.
Right.
You say, I got a starting caliber player playing tackle. Might not have Julius Peppers or Mike Ditka.
So they have a lot of work to do.
Right.
But I think
and yet they still went 14-2.
Had to stop himself right away.
But I think that they're beyond the point of now, you know, working against the current, and I think now they're starting to swim. Now they're adding on to a pretty good base, and, you know, they may not be 14-2 next year, but they could be a better team. We say that a lot.
The surface no longer rough.
Yeah.
I agree with that as well.
You know?
Just because
they'll be a better team if they win a playoff
game. Just
because
your record goes down from one year to the next doesn't mean you're an inferior team.
Fred?
I agree with that.
They'll be a better team if they win a playoff game next year.
Yes. Yes. I can't can't disagree with
you. All right. Well, I don't know. If they beat the Jags again, they might not.
If they go 7-9 and win a playoff game, they weren't a better team next year.
And who depends who they beat. Like, that Jaguars team sucks, and they own them. If that team comes to Foxborough, they'll beat them.
If they went, you know, 11-5 and they're going on the road and they have to play at, like, Baltimore and they beat them, I'll say that they were better than this team.
Okay.
He's got a dumb smirk on his face right now for some reason.
No, I have to sneeze.
Oh.
I think I'm coming down with something.
What have you been doing?
That's too easy.
The HIPAA?
No, stop. John writes in, entertaining show as usual. I think far and away the biggest need for the Pats is the ability to generate a pass rush without having to use the blitz continuously.
As we have seen
with Brady, any great quarterback can be made pretty ordinary if you can get them moving and thinking that pressure is close. The Jets were able to pressure without using the secondary and completely shut down the vaunted Pats offense. This is clearly the biggest need above offensive line and running back.
Because it's not just the guy, whoever it is, Quinny. I like Quinn, so we'll throw him out there.
I like Quinn.
No, but it's then the fact that, okay, now Mike Wright gets a sack, or Myron Pryor gets a sack, or Vince Wilfork collapses the puck. It's that trickle-down effect of those other guys not... Did Mike Wright lead the team with 5.5 sacks missing 5.5 games or whatever hell he missed?
I believe he did.
I mean, he can't be your best, but he's good if he's not. If he's your third, fourth pass rush option, now you feel pretty good about it. But they lack the top end. And we've said this for a few years now. It's, you know,
but
I probably replay last offseason shows.
But I like the Jets thing.
And we won't take Quinn, and we won't take Von Miller.
It's not about finding that one individual
Cliff
Clug, guy.
Or whatever the hell his name is.
Carl
Clark. Versatile.
Yeah. J.J. Watt.
I want nothing to do with J.J. I think that would be such, and I know Bill doesn't
give a
rat's
ass. Have you already
written
that? Tell the truth.
No, I
haven't. I want nothing to do with
him. But I will. But that, to me, I know Bill doesn't care. That's a PR nightmare. You draft a Richard Seymour type with the 17th pick that you traded. He's not going to be as good as Richard Seymour. So you downgraded. You wasted that trade. I think that. Plus, I don't think they need that position as much as they need a lot of other stuff for that value of a commodity.
I do think they need that position, but I have to agree that.
But they can get a guy, get a third round guy at that position. If you wanted the best at that position,
you had him.
Keep him. Maybe you win a playoff game. Maybe Ray Rice doesn't go 83 yards on the first play. No. That's a PR nightmare.
Now you just poked the
You
beast.
Don't agree with me? If you try Richard
Seymour, but I have a feeling that Fred's
end,
not.
Who's the sixth overall pick, an all pro, maybe on his way to a Hall of Fame career. You don't want to draft the next Richard Seymour, do you? Who's probably not going to be as good at the 17th pick, right? Because if you wanted, you shouldn't have traded him for a first round
pick. Well, I think a lot of things come into factor, like contract status and all that stuff. Jamie from Houston is on the line.
I'm proud of him. I thought for sure, like, work ethic or something like that was going to
go with the stimulus package.
Jamie's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Jamie.
Let me tell you, all this talk about me is disgraceful. Bah, 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 bah. Yo, mooch. The next round better be on you or I'm on you. Rah!
Right.
Is that your dick?
You see that Coors Light commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's outstanding. What's
I
that,
actually
guys?
Like the commercial with him on the wall.
On the wall.
With
that's the one of him on the wall.
Yeah.
Yo, like mooch. That. Either the next one's on you or I'm on you.
I like that one. Ditka's funny. He's likable. He's talented. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have to bash him that much.
Yeah,
I
don't think
he's not a Switzer.
He didn't mean to be called a moron, did he? I mean, that was a little over the line for Fred to call him a moron.
He didn't need to be compared to Barry Switzer.
No, that was over the line.
The you know, the whole draft for Ricky for Ricky
Williams.
Our boy Ricky was a little
Williams.
Moronic, but you know,
well, no,
I mean,
worse,
not a moron overall.
Worse than that was walking into, I believe, the Senior Bowl saying, I'll give up my whole draft for Ricky Williams. Like, just putting it all on the table, which is why he ended up having to put in picks the following year. He was terrible as a GM. It was a
then
dumb
they went
move.
Home in Washington. Yeah.
Right.
Were you serious
yeah.
about that?
I mean, he got taken to the cleaners by Charlie Casserly.
Who's been wrong more than Charlie Casserly?
Well, he's not hey wrong guys, that often. It's all been proven fact.
And you know my background in security. I don't know if you've heard about the Super Bowl news, but the Homeland Security was going to they're going to put a no-fly zone around Dallas this year. But you know, after what happened last weekend, since there isn't going to be a jet within 300 miles of the place, they canceled it.
I see what you did there.
Good.
You like that one, huh?
Not good. Bad. Fred did, because it sounded like something he would have prepped
for
10
minutes. Jets.
Saw it coming.
Sounds like something Fred would butcher, as he was trying to say.
I did see the roof's going to be closed, though.
Yeah.
God's going to have to buy a ticket like the rest of them if he wants to watch
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, he sure is. And then one real football piece. Oh, by the way, I love the arguing. Last Thursday was epic. That was some good stuff. Back to your old form. Appreciate
good.
That.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It was great.
And then... what do you think? I think it's the year of the Cheesehead, and you know, I would have loved to have our boys have a shot, you know, in the big show in Dallas, but you know, I think we were lucky to get past you know, Flynn and the boys when they were here last time out, and I don't think anybody's getting in the way of Green Bay.
I hope not.
I like Green Bay.
We'll see. Pittsburgh can surprise
Pittsburgh
you.
Can win any
they
game.
Match up well against some teams. Yeah.
I think Green Bay will win. I mean, Pittsburgh has got no
Harrison
shot,
comes off the edge once. It's a game-changing
right.
play.
That's right.
I think Mendenhall, I know you're going to make fun of him, but I think he's good. I think he can control a game.
Beyond not being able to run, the biggest problem that the Packers have had is protecting Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the guy's had two concussions this year.
That would suck.
Took a pretty big hit against Chicago, too.
Took another big hit against Chicago. That's a game changer,
right? Can
you
imagine if he went out like early in that game?
It would stink.
Then Flinney would be swinging bullets.
Even if he doesn't go
out, Flinney would.
Flinney almost beat us.
Shoot the load in his pants. Only against the Steelers, not the Pats.
But I'm sure that James
Harrison would bite his head off.
For Woodley and for Harrison is going to be to rough up Aaron Rodgers.
Of course.
And if they can do that.
Certainly for Harrison.
It's Pittsburgh going to win that game.
Run the ball. On offense, rush Rodgers on defense. Very
yeah, but I think if we were in there, I think it would have been ugly for us. So, I mean, I'd rather lose in the big show, I guess, than lose, you know, what we did. But, I don't know, maybe there was some mercy
rather
there
not
that
lose
we
at
don't
all.
See.
All right. All right, Jamie. All right. Thanks, Jamie. Jamie from Houston writing in. Doug in Jersey writes in, or I should say Joyzy.
Joyzy.
I went to the Pats game, playoff game 2 weeks ago. Huge Pats fan. Drove 4 hours to see them lose. But come on, if they had won, why not gloat? Why have home games then? Let's meet a neutral grounds like it's 1700 British rule of engagement. If we had won, we had every right to talk poo to any green jersey you saw because of how much they talk leading up.
That's different. So you're responding. That's fine. I have no problem with that.
What would you have done? Walked out of the game and said, that was satisfying. Let's go get some tea. And
no, if you feel like you're responding to something, shoot your best shot.
But he sounds like he's responding to the players talking, not to other fans talking.
Right.
He says, no, you leave the stadium completely bombed, saying F the Jets, F Cromartie, fat bastard, dirty Chez, and double F fart Scott. It's natural to mock an opposing team. I wholeheartedly
you're aligned with.
Do believe,
fans,
though,
yes, I'm
the
a man
players
of the
should be allowed to jibber-jabber between the line, but outside, show some class. Don't be the Jets. So he's kind of saying two things.
Yeah.
Once again, the guys that Andy aligns himself with.
Talks out of both sides of his mouth.
With the fans. I'm with the fans.
You just run from them as soon as you see them.
Just as long as they are behind the red velvet rope.
Hey, guys, and Eric, this is D-E-J-I. Deji, maybe? I don't know. Just want to say that I love the show, been a fan for over 3 years. Most times you guys are unbiased, and it's quite refreshing compared to other shows, Pete Shepard, who is sometimes even makes
did he write that or did you insert
even
that?
Makes me feel unpatriotic. No, he said it. Anyway, my question for you guys is, what do you think of female refs in the NFL? Has there ever been one, or will there ever be? It's been a point of contention lately in English football, soccer. An analyst recently got sacked for a comment made about a female ref. She better go put the kettle on.
I could always eat your salad.
Really? I don't know. They'd have to be polite.
Remember. Remember when Cedric? Remember when Cedric Maxwell got in trouble?
Oh yeah.
Get back
yeah.
in the kitchen and make me some bacon and eggs.
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction would be, there's no way that they would do that. But I guess, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, is it any less manly on a basketball court?
No, I'm fine with it.
I mean,
the one difference is, I mean, I don't know
physically.
I would say like the game, like. There's no female football, really. I mean, there is that little league
right.
or whatever. But I don't know if you need to have any tie-in to some of them have played the game at a lower
well,
level.
Well, there's that woman who's now the head coach of a high school team and
yeah.
is in the D.C. area,
DC,
I think.
Yep, first head coach.
Right.
I have no problem with it.
I could see it eventually.
She can do the job. She could be better than the Jags that are out there.
I don't have a problem with it. I just wonder if physically you're a little bit more in harm's way.
Yeah, it could be a safety issue.
In football
right.
than any other sport.
Well, speaking of harm's way, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
It really sneaks up on you, that
We'll
end.
Be back on Thursday. Thanks to everyone who emailed. I know we didn't get to all of the emails, but
Fred was ripping
thank you.
For,
you know,
another show on Thursday.
We had another prolonged argument.
Most of them
as we are wont to do.
Being idiotic.
You know? Again, it's me criticizing someone from outside the organization and everybody else rushing to their defense because they're not a Patriot. We'll see you Thursday.
Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.